B-Pod Studios.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 2 o'clock in Philadelphia and time for the best show ever. Now, your starting lineup. Bring in the heat. Ricky. The Fanatic, Philadelphia.
Good afternoon. Oh, it feels good to have a winner in town. So much to get to here. Everybody in the studio here on 97.5 The Fanatic at NBC Sports Philadelphia. So let's get right to our opening statements. Yes, and we start with the word of the day. There's only been one word of the day today, and that, of course, is playoffs. Playoffs, because the road was long. There were a lot of potholes. Perhaps AAA had to be called a few times. There were some rookie mechanics that had to come out there and change a tire. Then they get under the tire, they realize, uh-oh, the rim's bad. They got to replace that. Then they find out the brakes were bad. But it doesn't matter. Because the Phillies, with a win, by the way, not with a back end, with a victory, clinched the playoff spot right now. And I said it out loud that I was emotionally detached until this team clinched. Welp, they clinched, so I'm back. They did what they had to do. It took a little longer than I would have liked, if I'm being honest. But none of that matters now. And boy, was the celebration big. Boy, was that celebration big. Last night, they went all out. Now, obviously, it was allowed because they didn't back in. They got in via themselves. Now, we're not going to do I told you shows along the way because all of us at different times have been wrong about this team. But we are, I'm going to say this today. The one recurring thing that Ricky Pitalico, who was speaking just one second a bit, said to him a million times, to Hunter Brody, to myself, over and over again was about one Kyle Schwarber. A guy who entered the game with 44 home runs, and constantly people are saying that player should be playing less baseball, not more. And they say, well, I didn't mean that. What you meant was you wanted him to get to the plate less. Well, let me tell you something. Last night, if we learn nothing else, Nola was glorious. We will get to how glorious he was. Right away, first fastball he saw of the game, he puts it into the seats, gives that team a 1-0 lead, and therefore Nola, while it wasn't a lot of room, he pitched every inning with a lead. Right away, 1-0, boom, and I absolutely think that helped set the tone for how good he was. He was good on his own, but Schwarber leading off, yes, because if he's batting fifth, he may not get up because he's not going to bat cleanup. Because you have a left-hander. Anyway, you saw why. I'm not saying everything's perfect. I'm saying if you want to talk about that next year, but can we just table that discussion until after the playoff series? Because I can tell you he's going to lead off then. And if they go to St. Louis or they go to New York or if they go to Atlanta, which I guess hypothetically could still happen, and pitch number one in the playoffs, he hits a home run, are we going to be complaining? This team, we'll talk about who was the most valuable player on the team. Who the Cy Young Award win, all the good things with this team. But boy, does it feel good to actually be in and not have to worry about what happened in September, to not have to worry about their last 11 years. Right now, the only thing we have to worry about in a studio that's 500 degrees is that the Phillies are in the playoffs. Credit also to Rob Thompson. This does not happen. I was a cheesy tweet, but I was just feeling it, that the missing P now stands for playoffs. Yeah, it's bad, but I was in the moment, okay? I was feeling it like they were feeling it. I was watching NBC Sports Philadelphia's coverage. I'm looking on social media. These guys got the phones going. Alvarado gives the speech of the year. Who would have thought? Who would have predicted? I'll give you $1 billion of someone else's money if you have some documentation that you predicted that the player that would have the best speech for the Phillies in years would be Alvarado. It's just a great feeling. I know we usually go to Hunter first, but on a day like today, we got to go to the closer. Ricky Bow, you were working last night. The Phillies are back in the playoffs.
They are back. Are you kidding me? Nola, man, I said to you earlier, I'm kind of happy he didn't throw a perfect game. We'll get to that in a little while of why. But, man, everything just went well last night. Nola was outstanding. How about Eflin? What the hell is going on? This guy comes in out of nowhere and he's closing out games now. That's beautiful. Alvarado. Man, this guy is a stud. He has turned himself completely around into probably second half of the season, the best reliever in baseball. And it is 90 degrees in here, by the way. And anyways, you know, when you look at this team as a whole, I think, you know, all the, I wouldn't say bad talk about them, but all the kind of pushing, I think it was because everybody thought they should have made the playoffs. And it was like, wait. And all of a sudden they get in and kind of all those feelings just kind of disappeared, at least for me. And Kyle Schwarber is a stud. I don't care what anybody says. This guy has the quickest hands I've seen in baseball in a long period of time. And I know people say, well, Aaron Judge has 61 home runs. Yeah, that's all fine and dandy. Kyle Schwarber's got some quick hands. He's been to the playoffs. You could tell he's the one guy in that clubhouse that understands the playoffs. And he understands what it takes to get there. And I will give him a lot of credit for this. You come over for another from another team, and you become the face of the franchise. He became the face of this team this year. There's no doubt in my mind. He was always stand up. He always stood up and took the interviews, did interviews. And the funny thing is, you bring up Alvarado. That may have been the first thing we heard from him all season long. Think about it. And to me, this is great, man. Postseason baseball, it starts Friday. Everybody should be fired up.
Yeah, it's a great feeling. It really is. And I look at this as a relationship similar to with maybe your siblings, where September, I was giving my sibling a little punch in
beat
the back.
Beat him up a little bit.
Yeah, I beat him up a little bit. And I said some words maybe that were hateful. But at the end of the day, you hug it out, you shake hands, and you move forward. Yep. And that's what I'm doing with this Phillies team. It felt last night that we actually saw them be themselves, which made it relatable for us. How many times did we walk into this 95-degree studio and we touched on that nobody's in the ballpark, there's no relationship, you don't feel connected with anyone, yet watching Kyle Schwarber, watching Alec Boehm, watching these people in the clubhouse celebrate that way, Rob Thompson with the speech even though he doesn't know how to take the cork out, all of that stuff, like it felt like they were part of us, which maybe that helps us move forward when we watch them play. There's one name we haven't mentioned yet throughout all the electricity last night. How about Bryson Stott with the insurance home run? And Kyle Schwarber said, that's cute. I'll show you how it's really done.
Oh,
you went from wall scraper to 9,000 foot bomb. But what a beautiful night. It was a lot of fun.
What, one guy that hasn't been brought up either? How about Reese? Did anybody see that interview?
Yes.
Man, that made me like him a lot.
Yeah.
Because that was true emotion that he was showing on the field when Pat McCarthy was interviewing him. That was outstanding. I mean, you can see tears in his eyes.
Yep.
I mean, that's like, you know what that's like? That's like going through like 4 or 5 years of hell, mm-hmm. and then you finally are out of it.
Yeah, you're right about that. And when you think about his just individual path from like phenom that first year he comes up, tear the cover off the ball, then they decide to take that and ruin his swing.
That was let's say it. Clentac and Kapler.
Right, tried to ruin his career and put him in left field.
Yeah.
I mean, ruin his swing and have him play a position he can't play.
Can you imagine him in left field
now? Goodness. Like, say what you want about Schwarber. He's a million times. Listen, we're not going to rip him today. But back to first base, 30 home run season. It's money time for him, like, individually. And the team ends up helping the team get there. And the likability thing. We can be honest that for 159 games, 160 games, they were not a particularly likable bunch. They were very, very likable and relatable after the game.
Is it because they were drinking?
Maybe. They kind of let the guard down
a little
bit. Yeah,
they did. Yeah. I thought that was, I mean, you saw Alec Boehm carrying around your case of Miller Lite, which is absolutely outstanding.
Yeah.
I just think, you know what's great about a celebration like that? It's ad-libbed. Mm-hmm. Everything that happened last night that you saw on our post-game show, everything's ad-libbed. Everything's just kind of going with the flow of everything. I mean, with Topper, with the bottle. He didn't even know the cork was still in.
He was ready to take it.
Can't do that. Got to take that cork out first.
Down. They're going crazy. And then they talk about the daycare and all those kids. And then Stotts on going live. And Segura's all, I mean, Segura, because he's the longest, most games of a guy who hasn't made the postseason. And then JT's second, and there he's all excited there. Really only one player missing. We'll talk about that later. But it does feel good to finally have a team that gets in. Because everybody said, well, if you get in, anything can happen. And my whole thing was get in first, then talk about whatever can happen. They finally got in, and it was glorious. Now, let me ask you guys this about Thompson real fast. If he doesn't get this job right now, how are we looking at this team? If it had been Girardi the whole way, and what would we be thinking about these? Where do you think the Phillies would be? We know where they are now. They're in the postseason. There's still a chance that they can get the second wild card, although it may not be such a good idea to get that second wild card. We can discuss that. Where would they be right now if they didn't go with Rob Thompson?
I don't think it's even close. Like, I was thinking maybe they'd be the Brewers, but honestly, they probably wouldn't even have as many wins to be where the Brewers are to somewhat possibly have a chance. They'd be a middle-of-the-road nonsense team that we probably don't even discuss, and then we look at the Eagles to fulfill our satisfy us a bit, mm-hmm. because that's where we are as sports fans. I think they probably plummet.
I think you have to look at Dave Dombrowski. That was a brilliant move at that time during the season. And quite frankly, I know you guys watched. You see Joe Girardi's interviews. He checked out mm-hmm. well before he was even fired. He had checked out. And I think this team needed a good look in the mirror. And what better way to do it? You bring in Topper. He's done an outstanding job. He's changed the attitude in the clubhouse. It's just not – I think they just took pressure off themselves. And I think they looked, and you could see that it kind of came back here in the last couple weeks trying to get to that playoff spot. But when you take pressure off of the players, they just go out and play the game. And I think that's what happened. I think we would be pretty much talking about the last day of the season coming up.
Well, 610-632-0975. Yes, September was bad. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like everything in September was that the losing 10-13 was no good. But none of it's all wiped away now. Once you get in, now we can move on. They clinched, and we're going to talk about what the heck were you doing in your life 11 years ago with the last time they made the playoffs, because we cannot have another drought like this. We're talking about somebody who was elementary school the last time, high school the last time, all kinds of people, and this has to become the start, and hopefully it will be the start of this becoming a regular thing, because it feels so good. 610-632-0975. We'll be back here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Best show ever, 610-632-0975. 2 o'clock hour brought to you by Ferguson HVAC Line Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Visit one of Ferguson's Kyle locations in Bensalem, King of Prussia, Pensacola, where I grew up, or Westchester today. We're about to get to the Twitter poll in just a little while. But first, Jen, Schwarber, can you play real fast before we get to the Twitter poll? What turned out to be the game winner?
The first pitch of the night, and the Phillies hope it's a special night, is hit in the air to deep left field. Mancini's going back. It is gone! Kyle Schwarber the opposite way has given the Phillies a 1-0 lead right out of the gates.
And Tom and them were fantastic last night also.
Awesome.
During the game, but then all that post-game stuff down there, they did such a good job. I'm not trying to pick a fight today, but if we see, because people called yesterday about this.
Here we go.
1-0 right away because that guy can do it. Now, if they had a Jimmy Rollins who was a more conventional type leadoff hitter with pop to do that, fine. But look what it did yesterday. Right away, if you're watching that game, and I was because the Sixers started first, so I'm watching the Sixers preseason, and I get to there, and I'm ready, and right away they're up, and I'm relaxed. I'm more relaxed because the big man who's been there, he's the team MVP. Put him up 1-0 to me. I can argue about a lot of things, but when you see it in real time, can we just not argue about it till after the season's over? Everything else to me is fair game, but can we please do that? And now it's time for our Twitter poll with Jen Skorda.
All right, who would you rather the Phillies face in the first postseason series, Cardinals, Mets, or Braves? Early votes have the Cardinals winning at 80%.
All right, well, that's the most likely scenario.
Yeah.
That's the most likely scenario. Three, those teams all could happen. I'm not ready to move on to the playoffs yet. I'm just trying to relish in the fact that they're in the playoffs. they will likely be betting underdogs against all of the three of opponents.
Yeah, I agree. It's just amazing, though, to think about Kyle Schwarber. When you sign that big ticket and John Middleton lays out that cash, this was it right here. I mean, yeah. you get your leader, you get the guy that's going to change the clubhouse and show you how to get it done. I don't know without Kyle Schwarber where they are this season, not just with what he does with the bat in his hands, but there were some tough times. There were some tough stretches. You lose 10 of 13. It's September, and there's certain ways you got to hold yourself so other people kind of feed off of it, and he was a big, big, big piece to the pie.
Definitely an MVP of this team. I mean, you hit 46 home runs. You're an MVP of any team, but let's not forget to give honorable mention. JT.
Yes.
He turned his garbage around after we started ripping him apart for not being in that Toronto series.
Yep.
Can you imagine if it came down to that and they missed out by a game? Woo! He would have heard it at some point.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he turned everything around, and they did this a lot without Bryce Harper.
Yep.
And even when he's been back, they've done it a lot without Bryce Harper. That's pretty impressive.
It's a blessing and a curse, because obviously we would want Bryce to deliver, but the fact that there is enough substance on the roster to hold it down when he's not playing excellent ball is a positive sign.
Yeah, it goes to when he went out, and we'll get to Malcolm and George in just 1 second. It goes to Harper goes down. They didn't panic at all as a group. We're talking about with the Eagles when they got down 14-0. They didn't panic on Sunday. Clubhouse didn't panic. And that comes from Thompson, obviously the manager, but it also comes from Schwarber. And then JT at that point starts hitting. Well, it took maybe a week or two, but then he starts hitting and becomes once again the best catcher in baseball. So he did it on the field. Schwarber, to me, did it both, on and off the field.
You got
to
look at that timeline with Schwarber. When he first came here, I think he knew he couldn't be the voice of the clubhouse right away.
Right.
But once you start hitting all those bombs, about 2 months in mm-hmm. June, I think then he knew, okay, I'm part of this team. Now I'm going to start leading the way and showing these guys how to get to the playoffs. He's been there. He's done that. That's a good guy to follow. There's no doubt about it.
And boom, the big hits, those are stats also as well. But that guy stepped up in that moment. And this is not a knock on Bryce Harper. They're in. But Bryce has been, since he's returned, has been unable, maybe due to injury, to really deliver at the highest level for this team. So who does do it? The left fielder steps up and yeah. did it at such a high level, and so did the catcher and others. But I to your question, I have no idea where they've been.
Yeah, I have no idea either. And to your point of earlier in the season, I mean, there was a time where he started out super slow, and he was getting a lot of questions. And all he said is, be patient. I've been playing this game for a long time. It'll I'll be come. Okay. And then he eventually had the hottest month that Kyle Schwarber tends to do every season.
He does do that every season. But it was funny because I remember him saying that, and I remember saying on one of the pre- or post-game shows that I'm not worried about him. Mm-hmm. He's been around way too long. He's going to figure it out. The guys that you do worry about was like Stott when he got sent down early in the right. season. Let him go figure himself out, then come back, which is it turned out well for the Phillies there. I'm telling you, a lot of what Dave Dombrowski did this year is going to go under the carpet, but he did a lot of nice moves that helped this team in the long run. Look at the Alvarado move.
Yep.
You know what? Some guys need a little bit of a shock factor. Maybe I think with the Alvarado thing, I think they wanted him to go down there and throw a lot of cutters. I don't even know if it was like perform. It was a little performance based to say, yeah. level, but I think they were like, okay, we got to get him somewhere where he could throw some cutters and learn to use that pitch a lot more. It only took him, 2 weeks, and he was back and dealing.
Yep. And last thing, with that in mind, a few years ago, they had no one that can throw 95, whether guns real or not,
yeah.
or higher. Having 3-4 guys this year, now they didn't all make it to the end, but that's the point. Mm-hmm. Have 3-4 guys, and that goes back to the Dombrowski, who Klintak's thinking spin rate and all these other things. This guy comes in and goes, can you pitch? Obviously, that matter. And how many guys can I put into this bullpen who can throw hard?
Right.
And Sir Anthony had a nice stretch at some point. Robertson had a nice stretch.
Yep.
Alvarado now closes the season, another hard thrower with a nice stretch. They weren't even available during the Klintak years. You didn't even have one of those guys. There were years to answer you with not one of those guys. And Dombrowski, this should be simple, but look, it wasn't happening here. Made sure they had 3 or 4 guys that could throw hard. And surprise, surprise, you actually made it to the playoffs.
But they did have Brandon Workman.
Oh, don't even. I can't believe
that. With that 89. Meanwhile, you got throwing 98 cutter easy and walking off the mound with all
the 89 wasn't the problem. I think it was the hanging curveballs yep. that were the big problem.
Yep. I can't believe we're sitting here today and our best relievers is Zach Eflin and Jose Alvarado.
Yeah. Hey, Eflin the ace came through and that was... I am so happy that this finally happened.
I want to throw two things out there.
I was worried.
And I want to know what you guys and Jen, how Jen feels. I feel like, and I'm just a pre and post game guy, I feel like a piano was lifted off of this team's back.
Yes.
You're more than a pre and post man guy.
Yeah. Well, you know what I mean. I'm just in the job that I do. I watch the team, and they're frustrating as can be. But you knew it was in there somewhere that they should be a lot better than certain times during the season. And I just feel like after their reactions yesterday, I feel like the piano came off their back.
I completely agree with that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Malcolm in Georgia, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic from Jen's original neck of the woods. What's up, Malcolm?
Good afternoon, everybody. How y'all doing?
Good, man.
Hey, so it's great that the Phillies got in the playoffs. I can finally get that sinking feeling of Ryan Howard tearing up his Achilles trying to get down the first base in that last series. Mm-hmm. And I can look forward to maybe some more positive moments from playoff history. I really enjoyed that clubhouse celebration. As a matter of fact, when I was listening to Rob Thompson and even John Middleton, there's a moment there where, you know, I'm thinking to myself, maybe these guys can reset, you know, the button and do something good in these playoffs. But my question to you guys are, do we think that the new guys and the young guys is enough for us to overcome some of the stuff that, you know, because they're the ones that came through in the clutch, even in that game last night. Some of the old habits still popped up. But, you know, it was Forber and Stock that came through. And do you think that they're enough to carry us through?
Well, Malcolm, I think you're being a little bit of fatalist there. Like, even I'm saying that, like, okay, there's a reason the Astros have the best record in the AL. That was a good baseball team that's out there. That starter, after that, he was clean. That breaking ball was killing them after Schwarber's first home run. He realized that his fastball wasn't perfect. He destroyed them with breaking balls. Just because other guys didn't come through last night doesn't mean that they couldn't in the playoffs, though. Like, let's see. It's reset. I'm saying once they get there, it's all reset.
The only thing that's against them is I know Wheeler's a great pitcher, Nola. They've never been there.
Right.
Neither one of them.
Right.
So those are going to be two guys that you're really kind of counting on. But I will go a little further and say I like their chances in a three-game series. I don't care where the game's played. I just think with those two guys, once they settle in, if they don't have those rocky starts that everybody talks about in the playoffs, mm-hmm. I don't think there's going to be much of a problem. I think what's Wheeler going to do? Give up two runs maybe in six or seven innings?
Right.
That should give you an opportunity to win the game.
Yep, and just because Harper hasn't also lately doesn't mean he won't. Because he's done it.
He needs one good game here, though.
He does. 610-632-0975. All you guys that are waiting patiently, we'll get to you on the other side. It's our longest segment of the hour here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 Sports Philadelphia, best show ever. 610-632-0975. Now, the people in here, Jen, you didn't say hi because the way I introduced the Twitter poll, so the fellas would like you to say hello to everybody.
Hi.
No, yeah, but you help me do it like,
hello.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
right.
Hi. Hello.
There we go.
There it is.
Hello.
There's the hello. Oh,
see? That's all people were looking for.
Kind of missed the hello.
Yeah.
Well, here I am.
Yeah.
I'm here for the whole show.
Yes.
Yes.
We know.
I hope so.
Where we all are.
Say hello anytime.
Yes. All right. Very good. We'll talk to Jim Salisbury about all this. You saw him in the locker room last night doing a great job at 3 o'clock. And Matt Gell from The Athletic at 4 o'clock about all of these good happenings, these positive happenings. Because I tell you, it's like a load off my back they finally in.
I agree.
I couldn't handle it if they hadn't made it. I wouldn't have done well.
You shouldn't have been doing
done well.
Aaron Nola, though, last night. When he struck out Alvarez on the inside part of the plate, just froze him. Mm-hmm. That top of the lineup, Altuve struck out. I mean, it was beautiful. I've never seen him look that sharp.
He controlled his fastball on both sides of the plate, up and down, too. I mean, he didn't elevate a ton, but when he did, he was point on. This is a guy that, number one, I think came in the league, and the one thing everybody would say is curveball, his curveball, his curveball. But man, the movement he has on his fastball and that sinker, I love, I talk about this a lot. That sinker he throws to the left-handed hitters that looks like it's going to hit him in the hip, ends up on the inside part of the inside corner. That is a fantastic pitch. And what I think is more impressive, because you don't understand how hard this is to throw that same pitch to a righty. Because the reason being, you don't have a point that you could throw the ball to. Right. You're just kind of throwing it into nothingness and trusting your stuff to come back. This guy's got nasty stuff. Nasty.
I saw a stat from MLB.com that got posted yesterday. Nola finishes the season, 235 strikeouts, 29 walks.
Yeah, he's the first or second pitcher ever with that, I guess, over 230 strikeouts and under or 30 or under walks. Yeah, second guy ever.
Yeah, you're talking about as far as just 200 period with that amount? You have Kevin Gausman, Cliff Lee, and Cy Young.
Yeah.
That's just the 200, bro. Like Cliff Lee had 207.
Yeah, Cy Young had exactly 200. There's only two at 230.
Yeah. I'm saying this is insane.
Very impressive.
Yes. He has the most strikeouts ever for a guy with less than 30.
This is huge for him. I mean, think about this. We were having debates on, all right, you look at the $16 million club option. If he fails through September again, is he somewhat of a smell like a loser? Him and Rhys Hoskins, yeah. They fail a lot.
I wanted to get rid of him next year.
I said if they didn't get in, he should have had to go. Guess what he did? He made sure they got in.
Oh, he's definitely. They might have picked up that option last night.
I would have picked it up. Because it was really what it was about was holding those guys accountable all the way through till they got to the tape. So it wasn't just, okay, they did good for 2 months with Thompson. Right. So no. Finish the race. And I'm not even saying that you have to win the World Series. I'm saying with a group with this amount of payroll, had to make the postseason. Well, don't give me what's so good about them. What's good about them now, we can talk about it because they're a playoff team.
And Nola does have a pulse. How about him talking last night, drinking a beer? He didn't care.
It was
beautiful.
Totally different. Totally different.
I actually like these guys when they're normal.
Me too.
You know me. I don't like all this rah-rah stuff on the field. I don't get it. Don't understand it. I get last night. I get that whole thing that they went through last night. And they just let themselves be themselves, which I thought is the best thing that could have happened.
I wish they had done it in June. Soon as the manager was gone, start being yourselves, and this team, they'll sell more tickets next year, not just because now they're a playoff team. There are a bunch of fans who didn't know who they were. They knew their names. But now there's people out there that feel like they know who those guys are, and now they're going to want to pay to see them because they know them.
Very good point. When have you ever, besides last night, when have you ever heard from Alvarado?
I honestly thought he had a translator. I really did. I did not know that he could speak English.
Is that unreal?
Same.
Like that.
And what he said, I didn't know what he... Obviously, none of us knew where it was going to come from. I'm so thankful to have... This is for Philadelphia. We'll play it later on. I'm so happy to have this second opportunity, so all the humility. I didn't know what kind of person Alvarado was, because how would we know? Like, it's like, how can you not love that? Like, no wonder the teammates are always rooting for that guy. How could you work every day with that guy and not love that?
I think last week when he came off the mound all fired up, that was the first time you saw who he probably was.
Yeah.
Because everything else was a work in progress is a perfect thing to talk about him as. Because earlier in the season, he wasn't fired up about anything.
Right.
Then all of a sudden, he figured out how to pitch. And he's like, wait a minute. Now I'm going to start getting fired up on the mound. Beautiful thing.
Think organizationally, though. We now look at Bryson Stott and Alvarado, who are sent down midseason and come back with a whole new sense of urgency, and they're executing at will. That was not happening in previous seasons.
It was not. Also, last thing before we get back to the phones, also, Marsh, we knew about his defense.
Yeah.
But the Phillies people, Dombrowski's people, and Mattingly, I have to give him credit too, said, we think, and they told Jason Stark, and they told a lot of guys we've been having on, Jim Salisbury, we think this guy can hit. Now, I'm not saying the guy's Babe Ruth, but he's been like a 290 hitter over the last stretch. If that guy could come back and be a 275 hitter in center field in the future with Harper in right and et cetera, You know what kind of bonus to have control of that guy for four more years?
That's good.
If he can back like 275 from that center field spot and play defense. Because think
and
about
he can
what,
run.
At, right. I mean, this, like, the clearly, this is a situation where Dombrowski pulled a Howie. And they stole a guy who might be here for a while, who can play a center field, and again, not hit 50 home runs, but we know the bar for center field here. Like, they brought back a terrible human being because they were that desperate about that spot. Now you can forget about that. This guy looks like a pass, and he got a big hit yesterday.
They really haven't had a center fielder here since Shane Victorino.
Right.
And I'm laughing because you say they bring Odubel in because they had no other options. This is after they drafted Mickey Moniak and Adam Hasey. They looked to try and not fill that
spot. They didn't give neither of guy, they didn't give either guy a full opportunity.
Neither of the two we have to worry about anymore.
But now you don't have to worry about that because what Marsh did once getting regular playing time here, he looks like a... What I'm talking about is Eddie Gotta, he's been getting hits in these moments at the bottom of that order. So,
I got a lot of good things. You guys.
Yeah.
You watch the end of the very end of the game,
yeah.
And they were walking off the field. Uh-huh. Who the hell are all these people?
I don't know.
Did anybody notice this?
Yeah, I was.
They must have 70 coaches on this team.
Well, I saw when they were smoking the cigars, too. I'm looking at some of the people in the clubhouse.
You don't even know who they
are. Who they are.
Who are you?
And some of them like, why are you getting a cigar? Did you make sure every player got a cigar that wanted one before
I'm sure
you
those
grabbed
were good
your
too.
Cigar? Right. Like,
I
wait
didn't
a minute.
See Nola as a cigarsman.
Me neither. He probably isn't. But he's like, hey.
You know, last night he was.
And by the way, you know they're all paying for it this morning.
Oh, my goodness.
That they're taste lose, in your mouth after that?
Listen, they're going to lose by 100 runs tonight. I don't care.
It doesn't matter.
No
way. It's over. It doesn't matter.
That's what
anymore.
I'm saying. They're going to lose by 100 runs tonight.
They're all hungover.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
You think Boehm is ready to go?
I'm not going to lie to you. If I was on there, I'd still be in bed.
I'm tired from watching what they did last night.
Yeah.
I didn't get, I overslept this morning. The whole day was thrown off, and I didn't drink anything and didn't even participate.
Well, when we went off the air, they were getting the press out of the locker room. That's why people are like, well, aren't we going to get more? No, they won't let us anymore.
No, but the players stayed up.
I'm sure. I'm sure they had a suite at the hotel in Houston that was fully stocked and ready to go.
They turned it up. Steve in Wilkes-Barre, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Steve?
Oh, and I'm glad they celebrated. I hope they celebrated all night because they earned it and they deserved it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they've been through this year. You know, Ty, we ended our conversations most of the time in the last 2.5 months. Look at the big picture. And I used to tell you, this team is making the playoffs despite what they're going to. Sometimes it was bad. It was tough. But as a fan of 50 years, it's great. They're in the playoffs. And I'm going to tell you something else. They're going to be one dangerous team. They got three of these elements that you need to go deep in the playoffs. Last night, they put that on show. You got good starting pitching, good back-end bullpen, and guys that can hit the ball out of the park.
All right, I got a question
for
you.
They have all three of that.
I got a question for you.
Tricky.
What's your rotation? I'm going to say what... No, I wouldn't do that. I would go Wheeler, Ranger, Nola.
Here's why you can't do that. Let's say they lose game one. You're telling me Nola, who hasn't made the postseason with this organization?
Well, no. You could switch it up. If they win game one, I'm going Ranger Nola.
I can live with that more. But if they lose game one, Nola has to get that.
Oh, yeah. He has to get it. But
I mean, I guess.
You stop over there.
I mean, I guess. I'm saying that if you're asking me, do I trust Ranger Suarez in elimination game, I'm going to tell you I do.
I was thinking a little deeper. What if Wheeler wins game one? Ranger goes out and throws like he's been throwing. They win game two. You have Nola for the opening game in the next series.
It'll be elimination game for them. And then on to Nola game one, and now you're rolling. Now you're rolling. You beat the Cardinals. Now for game three at home in the next series, finally a home playoff game. Now who knows? Now it all lines up better.
Steve, what are your thoughts?
You know what, actually, Doctor, listening to you, if they win game one, hey, look at Suarez has been awesome, man, the last 6-7 starts. You may want to go with him. They win game two, and then you have Nola for game one. I would go along with that. And honestly, you know what? They're taking a poll on which team they prefer. I learned a long time ago that, like, you can't. If you do that, you may be asking for something that you don't want.
By the way, I kind of agree with that.
Nola's better on that extra day rest, too.
Yeah, but let's just look at Rob Thompson. Rob Thompson's message has been pretty consistent.
He's not going to do it.
He's not going to do
it. But I want to see that happen.
I think it would be a smart thing to do.
I'm not against it if they win game one. I just don't think it's going to
occur. We have plenty of time to talk about it this week. I just thought I'd throw
I'm on board with it. I think it'll
You'd have Ranger start game one.
I wouldn't be against that because I believe in him so much, and the guy's been so consistent. Over the last 2 years combined, if you combine the last 2 years, Ranger has been the best pitcher, though, if you combine the last 2 years, maybe second to Wheeler, maybe. Booty has it. Here it is. most case to your stat you mentioned, the only other guy to do it was in 1884. He had 270, but...
Who was it?
That was Jim Whitney. But here's the difference.
I thought it was going to be some crazy name like they used to have.
Oh, like Archibald B. Rutherford C. Yeah. It was in 1884, it took 6 balls to earn a walk.
Oh.
So he's the only player.
Only one that actually...
Yeah, he's the only real who's actually done it in a real
balls. Game. Those games would never end nowadays.
Now? And when these guys start nibbling the way they do,
wow.
They're nibbling, they have extra balls to work with, you wouldn't get anything to hit.
That's a drop.
Brian in Delaware, you're on 97.5 Fanatic.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Doing well.
I got one word for last night. Incredible.
Feels good, right?
It feels tremendous. And my favorite part of last night was watching JT in the clubhouse. I mean, that was awesome, but even more so, Rob Thomson making the comment, we're not done yet. We got 13 more wins, and then we're done because we're world champions. I hope it happens.
That's a typical. Yeah, he had to say that.
Yeah, neither one of those things, the JT thing, or that moves me in that way. But if it moved you, I was more moved by just some of the speeches from other guys.
Reese got me right away.
Yeah.
I think that was, I didn't expect it from him. I think that's why.
What I think is cool is you're seeing now, especially on social media, people share where they were 11 years ago. It's been so long. I think when you put it in perspective and listen to some people who are 27, who were 16 or whatever the case is, it's like, wow, it really was that long. And it's refreshing, and it's nice to see the community got to embrace postseason ball again.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. It just feels good. 610-632-0975. Greg at Bethlehem, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, guys. I feel most happy for Aaron Nola just having done what he did, carrying that piano on his back. Ricky could probably talk about what it's like pitching under that kind of stress. It's amazing that he did as well as he did. And, I feel probably happiest for him, I suppose, and obviously for the whole team. But, for him to step up and not make the mistake with the hangers, it's just very impressive.
He was just on his game. I mean, I don't think he feels stress. He doesn't look like a stress type guy to me, unless something's going terribly wrong in a game.
I
don't think he puts pressure on himself. He just goes out there and pitches.
It seemed like almost like he was maybe it was physical in previous years, like he had trouble metering out his energy.
That elbow thing that I forgot what they called it. Didn't need surgery or anything like that. But sometimes if you notice when he's off, it's mechanical and his elbow starts dropping. You could literally see it during the games. And that's when he starts looping the curveballs, which is when we were saying one bad pitch, you just waited for that one bad pitch. He hasn't been that guy all year.
I think he's a more mature, maybe he's a more mature human being. Versus
he might just have been thinking, this is house money. I'm just going to go out there, pitch my game, and let the, because that's the type of pitcher I think he is. Just kind of let the cards fall where they may type guy.
Maybe I'm crazy, but I do feel like in years past, he'd be sitting more 92-ish. And I'm seeing 95, a little bit more 94. It's like, it seems like there's a little bit more juice in it, too. A
lot better finish.
Yeah, I think that, I don't know, maybe he'll probably speak to it eventually. Maybe more time in the weight room in the offseason, strengthening himself. He does look like a different guy physically, and he sounded like a different guy mentally. Even when the whole vaccination stuff even came up, Boehm handled it pretty well as far as that. Real Muto handled it terribly. Nola was like, I just ain't feel like it. Just moved on. Made it a non-thing. Because when they talked about it before,
I didn't feel like
he went into all these different things that didn't make sense, and he was doing all, talking about last season. This year, he just handled like a dope. Like, listen, I'm a grown man. I didn't want to do it. He didn't insult anybody. He didn't do it. That was JT's thing. He just was like, I ain't feel like doing it. I think he was more mature physically and mentally this year than he had been in previous years, especially the one time where he had a win or you win situation and he made it through less than four innings.
His demeanor's spectacular.
Yeah.
I mean, I know a lot of people say he doesn't, he looks like he doesn't talk, doesn't do anything. He's just being himself, kind of relaxed.
It works when he's dialed in, and it looks awful when he has a bad outing. It looks awful when he's getting
it. Because he doesn't change, yeah, because it's like still a blank face. And it's
although,
like, get your butt kicked.
But he was a little ticked off when he gave up that hit last night. In the dugout, he was not happy at all.
Well, because he knew.
Yeah,
he knew.
There's no doubt.
Because think about if he was to close it out with a perfect game, I'm talking about him himself.
But he didn't look like there was any pressure on him.
I just think
he went to LSU. I mean, that's big time. When you think about it, I'm talking about in perspective.
It's absolutely
that's
big time.
Big time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't think he feels any pressure when he goes on the mound.
Yeah, with baseball now, it's
and a big contract already, he doesn't. He's not worried about that either.
No, and he took the less money because he's like, that's enough. He's one of those guys. It's like, how much is enough?
What was it? $70 million? Yeah.
Yeah, for him, other people want $400. He's sitting there going,
Well, he's going to get another one coming up soon.
Yeah, he will.
$16 million for him next year is a steal.
I bet you they give him an extension. I bet you they make it like 4 years at like $80 or $90 million.
I think that'd be smart now. Now that they're in, I think it's smart. Yeah. You no longer have to defumigate.
Right.
Because they open the door and let the bugs go out on their own. Amadeo in South Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Boys, how are we feeling today, man? It's a great feeling just waking up knowing that they're in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
Pretty damn good.
Yes.
Relieved.
Just thinking about what Hunter was talking about, like 11 years ago where people were in different places and to now. I was in 7th grade, 8th grade when the last time they did playoffs. I graduated college 2 years ago.
There it is.
Like, so you're fired up. Then.
That's what I mean. That's what I'm talking about. Like, this is great. This is why they got to do it more often. It was almost like we've been deprived. He's been deprived of his whole adulthood.
But watch what happens. Watch what happens. You haven't been through this. Once they start going every year, it's just like old hat. Watch. It'll get to that point, and then that year they miss it, everybody will air them out.
Well, that's what it'll be hell to pay. That'll be the end of Thompson. Thompson's here until they miss the playoffs.
That's right.
Kind of how it goes.
He's got the Charlie job now.
You got it until you don't. And there it is.
Yeah, I was in 5th grade when they won the World Series. I remember everything from that 07 to 11 run. I want to make new memories fresh out of college as an adult. And I can't get over what Aaron Nola did yesterday. He was just simply spectacular. Like, I can't get over that freezing Yordan Alvarez strikeout. That was amazing.
I agree. That was my favorite one.
Yeah.
He had some nice curveballs that they were swinging and missing on, too. Like, top of the lineup, you could tell when someone's on and they just start a game off with a certain style of confidence, and he was taking it for
you
as long as he could.
The hitters will let you know. That was a perfect game to watch and say, oh, the hitters are letting us know what he's doing out there.
Mm-hmm. And they might have wanted to play spoiler. They couldn't.
Although the pitch of the game came from Alvarado. That 101 with the late movement.
What are you going to do with that? Like, that's
you
why.
Can't touch
what can
it.
You do with that? The guy's standing there, and it's like, and then Alvarado almost is walking off the mound before the pitch gets there because he knows there's no way in hell he's hitting that. It was just.
See, I used to be able to do that with my curveball. I would throw my curveball, and you could tell, like, right when you release it, you're walking off the field already.
Alvarado's doing that. Man, this is fun. 610-632-0975. I believe, we got three people on hold, but I don't see one person. So you can join him, 610-632-0975. See line 6? You see anything?
I don't.
It's like magic.
It's weird.
And also, we'll talk to Jim Salisbury on the
side
here on 97.5 The Fanatic at NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia, best show ever. 610-632-0975. 3 o'clock hour brought to you by Corpley's Bakery and Deli, world-famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays. Every bit as good. You read his stuff on NBCSportsPhilly.com. You see him on NBC Sports Philadelphia, this very station. You saw him last night down there in the clubhouses. They're going crazy after the game. Mr. Jim Salisbury on the Comcast Business Hotline. Thanks so much for carving out some time for us, Jim. How are you?
Yeah, you're welcome. Doing well. How are you guys doing?
Doing pretty good. It looked like those guys were having a great time, obviously, last night celebrating. For you, you've been around the team through the ups and the downs, and you saw how rocky things got in September, losing 10-13 at one point, and everything, every way that it played out. Do you think Ricky brought up earlier, maybe they felt like a weight was lifted off them? What was your observation when you were seeing those guys last night?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the perfect description. I think I even used that word in something I wrote last night. This drought has been hanging around this franchise's neck for a while, and the weight has only gotten heavier as they have spent more and more money the last few years in free agency, and the drought has extended to a decade. I mean, it's been painful for the ownership group, for the administration, and for the players, especially ones like Hoskins, Nola, Eflin, the guys that have been around for a while and really worn it and felt the weight. So last night, and, you know, even the weight started to get more pronounced in September when I thought they were really pressing and, as you mentioned, lost 10 of 13. But last night what I sensed was euphoria, excitement, and another emotion, relief. A great deal of relief that they were able to punch this ticket and get to the postseason and end this drought and lift this weight. And I would even call it a burden. So I think everybody takes a deep breath now, enjoys what they have done, and sees if they can go out and pull off a miracle. Who knows?
You've been around a ton of different managers over the last 3-4 years or so with Gabe, Joe, and now Rob. What's it like now that Rob has been able to kind of go on this run? What are some of the things that you feel he does that has really helped out this ball club turn it around?
I think Rob's strength is his easygoing nature. You know, these days, I think players are very self-directed in their routines, and they want to be self-directed. You know, they don't want an overbearing manager. They all know what they need to do to prepare, but they want a manager who supports them, and is there for them and builds confidence, and believes in them. You know, I think under Joe, there were great expectations coming into this year after signing those two big free agents in Schwarber and Castellanos and on top of Harper and Wheeler and bringing back Realmuto the last few years. And the weight of the expectations really gripped that clubhouse early. And the more the expectations ramped up and the worse they played, they got off to that slow start. They didn't pitch well, especially out of the bullpen. They certainly didn't field the ball well. The defense was poor. And the grip just got tighter and tighter. And I think Joe's personality got tighter and tighter. And the clubhouse kind of fed off that. Negatively, Thompson has just a much more easygoing nature to him. I think he's kind of got an underdog quality to him, a baseball lifer that has never managed. And I think that plays well with a team of superstars. Those guys are still the show. The players are the show. They're the superstars, but they got this kind of behind-the-scenes guy supporting them, building confidence, believing in them. And I just think everything in the clubhouse when he took over, you know, it was dialed down a notch. And certainly it helped that they went on an immediate 8-game losing streak. And I put that on the players because whenever a manager gets fired, there's a shock value to it. And if you have any pride as a competitor or a professional, you look in the mirror and you say, I stunk at my job. I got a good man fired. What am I going to do about it? And they did something about it. So the voice changed, the shock value, that all turned it around. They have, I don't think I'm overstating this when I say they really love this guy. They really, really love Rob Thompson. And I think if you don't feel happy for him, you don't have a heart beating in your chest.
Jimmy, talk a little bit about JT. And let's face it, quite frankly, the beginning of the year, he was confused as can be at the plate and how much he means to this team now. And how did he turn things around?
Well, confidence was the thing that turned it around. And no one knows more than you, Ricky, that this is a 6-month season, a test of your skill and your endurance and your mental strength, that nothing tests it more like the grind of baseball. And just because you have a couple bad months doesn't mean you can't have 4 good months and turn it around. And that's what we saw with JT Realmuto. He didn't get off to a good start at the plate. He was searching for things. He was messing with his toe tap. He was messing with his leg kick. He was messing with everything. And a player that tinkers with mechanics, be it on the mound or at the plate, I mean, let's face it, you tinker because what you're doing is not working. And a tinkering player is not a confident player. But around mid-June, he really found it.
and found something that worked at the plate, and his defense really never wavered. We have seen an awesome display at the plate and behind it from this guy. And, you know, what he does for that pitching staff, you know, I was speaking with Zach Wheeler about this yesterday. Zach Wheeler's numbers with runners on base this year are much improved than they were in past years. As a matter of fact, in some areas, they're dramatically improved. And he says that is because he is staying in his mechanics more so with runners on base. He is not rushing his delivery. And the reason he's not rushing his delivery is because he has full confidence that the man on the behind the plate is going to get rid of the ball quickly and throw a strike to second base and control the running game. So he doesn't have to, on the mound, try to control the running game so much, and he can focus on his mechanics and executing a pitch. JT Realmuto's had one of the best seasons a catcher has ever had. Big hits, big defensive plays. He's been around a few years. He's never been to the postseason. Nola's never been to the postseason. Segura's never been to the postseason. Wheeler's never been to the postseason. The looks on their faces was last night was elation and relief, and I can't wait to see what this is all about in the next few days here in the postseason.
Talking to Jim Salisbury from NBC Sports Philadelphia. One guy who has been to the postseason many times is Kyle Schwarber. Starts the game off last night with the home run and obviously follows up with a massive one in the eighth that kind of put the game away at the time. Jim, Dombrowski brings in new corner outfielders. This guy really, really pays off. Can you just speak to how important and where this team maybe would have been if they didn't have Kyle Schwarber?
Well, I think if they didn't have Kyle Schwarber, they'd be packing boxes right now, getting ready to go home. I mean, tell them what the clubhouse looks like when you're a team going home in September, Ricky. There's boxes and packing tape everywhere for about the final 5 days. And stuff's being shipped off on UPS, equipment, and, you know, lockers are being emptied. They would be going home if it wasn't for Kyle Schwarber. And the reason I say that is going into the month of June, they were a dead team. They were a dead team. And Rob Thompson helped turn it around. Reese Hoskins helped turn it around. He had a monster month of June. But the guy who, you know, put everybody on their back was Kyle Schwarber. Had an incredible June, 12 homers, 27 RBIs, player of the month. Every night you couldn't wait to get to the ballpark to see what Kyle Schwarber was going to do to put this team on its back. And that month of June, when they went 19-8, turned around their season. It vaulted them into contention. It built their confidence. So I think they're going home without Kyle Schwarber. You could debate whether he's the MVP of the team, whether JT is the MVP of the team, whether someone else is the MVP of the team. But I'm going to tell you, they are not here without Kyle Schwarber. And people say, oh, he's hitting .213. Who cares? He's got 46 bombs. He shows up in big games. He's getting hot again. It's really fun to watch. And on top of the production he brings, he is a tremendous leader, one of the best I've ever seen. He has an everyman quality to him, you know. There's no pretense to him. There's no airs to him. He's a regular guy. And he has a way of galvanizing that clubhouse from the 26th or the 28th man right up into the top gun. He is the leader in that room. He and is an unpretentious leader. He's not seeking to be the leader. He is a natural leader. I'll give you something that this might resonate with people. To me, he is Jason Kelce with in a more quiet way, you know, without the mummer's outfit. This kid is dynamite at on two sides of the game, what he does on the field and what he does in the clubhouse.
Jimmy, just real quick, your thoughts on the rotation in the playoffs. And number two, who are the two most important parts out of that bullpen right now?
Wow. Alvarado, what a job he did last night, Ricky. I mean,
yeah, no joke.
I mean, you know, second and first and second, two outs in the seventh, one run game. All of a sudden, that building is alive, and they want to see their Astros do something. Thompson goes to the lefty at the right time, and he's 99, 100, and 101 with sync. Biggest out of the season. So I think he's one of the biggest ones. You could see Eflin. This might be a thing with Eflin. I mean, fresh arm. They might have found themselves a hungry calm, cool closer at the end where Robertson and Sir Anthony have teetered a little bit. But I don't know if I could say any two guys are the most important. It would be great if Sir Anthony could start throwing strikes. It would be great. I mean, you know, Robertson has a lot of postseason experience. I mean, those four guys are crucial to me down there. And as far as the rotation, this is what you've always liked about the Phillies. You know, everybody says, oh, if they can get there, they have a shot because they have Wheeler and Nola at the top. And those guys, we saw it last night with Nola. Those guys, at any point in time, can beat any lineup in baseball. They can stand any team on their head. So if I'm a favorite team, I don't want to face a rested Wheeler and Nola because I know what they can do to a bat rack. Good pitching can stop good hitting, and if they're on top of their game, they can stop anybody. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it certainly has a chance to happen. So I think they're in good shape. Wheeler, Nola, Suarez, those are your three guys, and we'll see who they play.
Well, Jim, thank you so much for the time. And, man, for the first time in a long time, you're going to get to cover some postseason baseball coming up this weekend. So enjoy that, and we're looking forward to reading all about it and seeing you on TV.
All right. Thank you very much, guys.
All right. That was Jim Salisbury on the Comcast Business Hotline. I like that talk he was talking. I like all of that stuff. 610.
Ready to go.
Yes, he is. 610-632-0975. We'll have some phone calls because we want to hear what you guys are feeling right now after the Phillies finally get back to the postseason, breaking the longest drought in the National League here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia, best show ever, 610-632-0975. About to get back to the foes, but Alvarado after the game. Surprised just because nobody had really, I hadn't heard from him. Did you remember hearing from him?
No.
Did
you? And I listen every night.
Every night. So this is what he said real fast after the game in the locker room.
Philadelphia, this is for you.
I mean.
Philadelphia, this is for you.
I don't know. Like, I just would have never, of a million things he might have said the first time we hear Alvarado, I didn't think it'd be that.
Yeah.
I just didn't.
I thought he was good. He was to the point. I thought Gene Segura was pretty good when he spoke also.
And very genuine.
Well, he's kind of been kicked in the butt for a long period of time.
Yeah, now no one can say that the way he plays baseball can't help a team get to the postseason.
He's been busting his ass for at least the last month.
Yeah. We're deprived as fans. Imagine being the competitor. The competitor that's been dry not getting to the postseason.
Sucks.
All those games?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Happened to me.
Yeah, all those games.
I was behind the damn Braves, though, all those years with Maddox, Smoltz, and Glad. That was fun.
And a bunch of no...
Why
and
didn't you out pitch them?
There was only one wild card.
Yeah.
And actually, it was only for 5 years.
That's what I mean. For a while, there was none.
We weren't going anywhere, considering I was in the NL East for 8 years out of my 11.
Yeah, that was why somebody was trying to compare the Phillies core to, like, Ernie Banks. I was like, there's a bunch of wild cards now. Like, it's not apples to apples. We're not telling them.
I just realized there's a good chance it's Philadelphia against the Cardinals this whole weekend.
Yes.
Yeah. Eagles in Arizona.
Friday, I can take the game wherever it is. I recognize we might be up against it. But Sunday, they have to make sure those games are not on.
I would think a night game on Sunday.
Night game Sunday. If it comes for me, if they take care of business Friday, Saturday, we don't have to worry about it.
Let me put it this way. If it's only one game, I would think it would almost automatically be a night game.
Because I just don't want to have to be switching during that.
Would you be surprised if it's 4 o'clock?
No.
Sunday? Well, it depends, because it's going to be more than one game three. I don't know why I think that. I just think someone's going to win a game.
I'm just thinking of the Eagles kicking off at 4. Is that 4:05 or 4:25?
25.
Hey, here's the only issue. If the Phillies were to lose game one, I'd be a little nervous.
I agree.
I would be very nervous.
Because now you got to win two games in a row on the road.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get
that letdown. And that's what happens to playoff teams all the time.
I mean,
I could go back to 2007. I was doing this for the Phillies, and they had a best of five against the Rockies.
Yep.
And they got beat twice in Colorado. They come home, and boom, it's over.
Well, they're going to be underdogs for a reason. But all we can ask for is them to compete and give us their all. And you can't just roll over and die on.
That's right. Like, now get there. Now let's see who they're going to play. And some matchups are better than others. Cardinals, to me, I feel like on paper, better for me than the Mets.
You win that first one, you better go for everything you got in game two. Yeah,
you don't want to get to game three on the road. Jack in West Philly, you're on 90. Jake, you're in West Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Jake?
Yo, Tyrone, Hunter, Ricky, Jen, how y'all doing today?
What's up?
Good, man. How are you?
Philadelphia is a sports town. Everything is going crazy, man. Yesterday, your word was fortitude. Somebody better tell the Eagles, text, email, Instagram. The Phillies, I mean, they need fortitude. That's going to get them through this thing.
Well, they showed a little something yesterday because they didn't try. They didn't go for the back end. They could have been watching for a chunk of that game.
Right.
The Brewers were behind. They didn't let off. They kept. We want more offense, but that's a conversation that could happen today. That could happen tomorrow.
Because you said before, had they won because the Brewers lost, or that mathematical thing, why are they celebrating? So at least they won and they celebrated. The Eagles got the NFC East all wrapped up. I already got my tickets here. Just one observation and one question for all you guys, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, when the dude called in about his wife, I've been married for 10 years. Hunter, congratulations. I heard you were just formally married.
Thank you.
You know, fortitude, Hunter, fortitude. Here's the thing. When I first met my wife, she's a gym rat, but she knew nothing about sports. I introduced her to the Eagles. Now, she's an Eagle fanatic.
There you go.
She watches the games. She jumps all around the house. She got this green thing going on. I must admit, like you said, it's some things that makes you angry, but it's very distracting.
I can see she's doing too much. Yeah, she's doing too
all
much.
Over the place.
Mm-hmm. I can see what you're saying, Jake. Yeah.
I love it.
And, yeah, I know. I get it. You still love her. And what was your question?
The question is, they're going to build a stadium. The Sixers going to get a stadium in Center City.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any city in the United States where all four sports teams have an individual stadium? MLB, NHL, NBA, and of course, NFL. Is it a city?
I'd have to check. I mean, I'd have to check. Well, and also, by the way, we don't know for sure that the Flyers wouldn't go with the Sixers.
The Flyers not going with the Sixers. I got a guy.
That has not
been decided
yet. I know a guy, Tyrone.
I believe you know a guy. I'm telling you that has not yet been decided.
The only reason I would agree with him that the Flyers wouldn't go, the Flyers own the building.
Right, but those guys might not want to forever own that building.
I understand.
Or those guys 9 years from now
Who would buy the building? If there's no Sixers in there, no Flyers.
Estate developer.
Oh, they would change something. Yeah,
change a lot of things. I think that there's time for more housing in South Philly, and I put up some sort of roof thing.
How about a movable roof that goes over the link?
I want to have something where you can watch games down there from a rooftop of a building.
Oh, so you're talking about like apartment complex.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter lives in one in D.C.
There it is. Those things.
It overlooks the Nationals Park.
Yes, I think that it's time for that kind of something like that to happen in Philadelphia. And also, I'm telling you for a fact, it's not a lock that the Flyers don't go. I'm not saying they're going to go, but we do not know that for sure. Like I'm telling you for a fact that that's not a lock. It's just not. Like, we'll see what happens. 610-632-0975. That segment went pretty fast, but our long segment's coming up, and what's brewing is going to be later in the show. So all phone calls coming up here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia, best show ever. 610-632-0975. Let's update the Twitter poll with Jen Scordo.
All right, who would you rather the Phillies face in the first postseason series? You can answer the Braves, the Mets, or the Cardinals. 2% are for the Braves right now, 16% for the Mets, and 82% want to face the Cardinals.
That almost tells me, thank you, Jen,
mm-hmm.
but am I crazy? It tells me that we don't want to face them. I don't know. Sometimes when everybody's like wants a certain opponent, it's a little scary.
So what are you saying? They don't want to see who?
They're saying they want to see the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Now I don't want to see them.
I want the Mets.
So you're doing the reverse psychology.
Not so much reverse psychology. What I'm saying is that the whole be careful what you wish for type of thing. Now, even though they got smacked around like a child by the Mets all year, I believe they're a bunch of wounded losers.
Them and the fans.
They're wounded, right. And they're losers because they're the Mets. If Bryce Harper can get it together just a little bit, because that would be the difference. They last several times they lost to him, there was no Harper. If Harper can get himself together just a little bit, which unfortunately that's one thing that has not
happened. Running out of time.
Yeah, it's got to happen like now.
It takes one swing for him.
It very well could. But every at-bat right now is kind of this thing. You kind of know it, and it's not in a positive way. Like, I thought once they had it rolling yesterday, I thought there was no chance Bryce was going to get a hit. And sure enough, now is he not getting hits, he's not making contact. Now, he's not even having loud outs right now.
No, the pitches not.
He's off balance.
Pitches are in the dirt, and he's swinging.
Yep. Tough circumstance, but to me, that would something for me, if they're projecting like that, what could be different? Well, Schwarber, we believe in. The starting pitching, Ricky, you've mentioned, we believe in that.
True.
You may have found some new bullpen guys. And Alvarado's good right now. That I don't even have to question. It's just you may have found new bullpen guys. But if your three-hole hitter can't get any hits, I don't think you can really make a run. That's the thing that could be different going forward.
Unless
that's not for today necessarily, but still.
We get a Reese run because, you know, Reese goes in waves.
He gets so hot.
Reese, yeah, but he hasn't hit that in a while.
So it's
like
time.
He hasn't been on that tear in a while. But don't forget, Schwarber goes on these too,
and I think he's due.
He's just starting up.
I think he's starting.
He's starting up right now. You know what I'm interested in? Like, I think we've seen the last of Alvarado for the season.
Is
that
fair? I think so.
Eflin, the same thing
for sure. Makes sense.
I wonder if they're going to pitch Robertson and or Sir Anthony tonight just to get him an inning. And then give them 2 days off ready to go for the playoffs. I mean, it just interests me because right. I want to see if these guys are healthy.
I agree. I would, and I would maybe do it unconventionally. Let's say Ranger gives you five good, but you just take them out.
Put Sir Anthony in the sixth.
Yeah. Yep, something like that. Yeah. Like low pressure, and you know, the score literally does not, this game has no meaning.
I mean,
just go out there and just get your pitches across the plate.
You really should be looking to Brogdon here and whoever.
I have a crazy question. Let's say in the playoffs, because right now there's two people, unless I'm missing someone, that I feel comfortable with in the pen. It's Eflin and it's Alvarado.
Yes.
True.
Would you go to Falter instead of Sir Anthony or David Robertson?
Sixth or seventh inning? Yeah. Yes.
But I'm going to him with thinking he's going to, me personally.
So let's say you're starting those six, Ricky, and you need someone in the seventh so you know what's eight and nine. You need one inning.
I don't know. And the reason why I'm saying that is because if they get by that first round, you're going to need him to start.
Yeah. Because you're going to need four after that.
We're not going Gibson.
Okay, so at that point, I'd rather go Eflin 2, Alvarado 1. If I need to get three innings out of my pen?
I think it just set up that way because of when Nola was in trouble. Nola was in trouble with a tying run coming to the plate.
Right, and a lefty.
That's where you go to your highest leverage guy, which right now is Alvarado.
Yep.
So I think he did that right.
I completely agree. And it happened to be lefty just worked out where it was perfect. I think he would have still gotten him even if it was a righty there, but...
It doesn't matter, I don't think, with Alvarado because he's got that fastball that's going away from the righties anyway. So either way, it doesn't matter in that sense. But there's no doubt I have some concern about Sir Anthony and Robertson.
It would be nice to see one of them, even in this low-pressure environment these next 2 days, have one, two, three in it.
And apparently Hand's supposed to be back.
Yeah, and that's something interesting.
I have to look that up because, I mean, he'll be fresh, which is
that's what they need. And now, I'm excited. But if people want to, like some people are already trying to turn the page, I just need a Bryce home run. Like one home run.
A couple missiles would be good.
Yeah, it just seems like it's not. We're saying the same thing you guys are saying. It's just, he just doesn't have it right now.
The way I always talk about Harper, he's got to start by hitting the ball left center field and stay there until the pitchers start to change up on you. Then you could start pulling the ball. But right now, he's back in that pull mode. You can't do that. Look at what Schwarber's doing. Came up yesterday, got a fastball away, and just pops it over the left field wall. Later on in the game, He's got his timing down. He gets a pitch on the inner half and hits one deep.
Booty has your update there. Ham will pitch to live hitters tomorrow. If everything goes well, he's then available.
There you go.
And that would be a nice arm to have. I mean, just you can't have enough guys. So that means that no four in the playoff roster for the wild card.
Fine by me.
I mean, if Ham's back, that's the guy you replace. You just take him out and go with the rest of your guys. Greg in Lancaster, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
How are you doing today, Tyrone?
All right, how you doing today, Greg?
I totally agree with Ricky. I want the Mets.
You want the Mets?
I mean, you're laughing at it. I'd rather go after the beast right away. That's just the way I look at it.
I'm not laughing at it. I want the Mets. I want the Phillies to beat the Mets.
Well, I want them to beat the Mets, but you saw what the last time. Like, you know, they're going into that battle with some broken ribs and a nose that's going left when it should be going straight.
So are the Mets, though.
Not from the Phillies.
Not
from the Phillies.
But Tyrone was right the whole year. They meted it up. They lost the division. They didn't lose it yet, but they're going to. Yeah, they're going to. You were right. They meted it up. You hoped it would be to the Phillies, but they meted it up. I think they're going to bet it up to the Phillies, too.
You know what? I would love that. I want that. That would be the best story, the best everything. But there is also this possibility, Greg, you have to leave the door open in that scenario. If the Phillies, which they'll be underdogs, if they lose to the Cardinals, and as long as they, as you mentioned, Hunter, appraise themselves well and compete, we could all live with that and move on and then say next year, Dombrowski with some more moves, more young players, you figure things out. Mattingly seems to not really know what he's doing with the farm system. They'll be better next year. You lose to the Mets again. Man, you got to hear about that all through the rest, all offseason, and then all regular season, because none of it's going to matter if they sweep them in May, because they'll be talking about what happened in October.
But the Mets are a definitive favorite over the Phillies.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't really have to worry that much about, I mean, you're kind of playing with house money.
Psychologically, though, you're going into the next season knowing you got to catch a Braves team that always does it, and now the Mets seem to be whooping your ass every single season.
Lose all your series.
Okay, well, if you're going to get all the way there, you're probably going to have to face them anyways.
No. What
at some point.
No, I'm saying, well, they can lose in the first round.
That's true, too.
But the reward is you beat the Mets. I hate all of their fans. I hate all of their players. Every player that's ever existed.
Hey.
Well.
Yeah, every single one. Everyone to ever put on a New York Mets uniform.
It's kind of a rule.
Disgusting people.
They gave me a paycheck.
Gross people. Awful people.
You know.
You want to put on the uniform for money?
Of course I would.
Now, on the one hand, and that's great, but the risk is you lost all six first time in 52 years.
You get swept by
him. And then you get swept by him, and now you're sitting there going, it makes it, now it's not on us to recover, but some of these groups, some of these guys have been a little fragile at times. I just wonder sometimes if they'll come back from it.
I know Stott will.
Stott doesn't care.
Stott is so comfortable at the plate. It's like the moment is irrelevant to him.
He's got a really smooth swing.
Yeah, he's going to be a player.
And his swing's always the same. Like, he doesn't change anything. Mm-hmm. You know how JT had that problem with the leg kick?
Uh-huh.
Stott doesn't have any of that.
Ever since, what was the change? When Segura told him to go,
spreading his legs,
your two-strike swing.
Yep.
That's the only adjustment he's made all year.
Spread
was to
out.
Go from spread his legs and leaves everything else
spread
the same.
Out. Keep your hands back. All right. No problem. And then, do that.
And he went from not looking like a major leaguer, you go, oh, no, their top prospect stinks again, which was out there, to, oh, this guy's a baseball player. He's going to be the second baseman in the future.
Simplifies the swing. Yeah. It makes you use your hands a lot more. Recognize the pitch and use your hands.
And then sometimes I wonder what the heck were they teaching them in the minors?
That's a good
question.
If
Segura could be around a guy for a week.
Probably computer stuff.
You know, and that's the next thing that has
Here's
to be
Here's how you look
out.
Up your analytics.
Yeah, like you're fixing his swing in the first month he's up here, the swing should be, he should be having to adjust to pitching or this is how you hit a breaking ball, not change your stance. Like, I don't know. It just seemed like, what the heck were they doing?
They did that to someone else, too, about standing closer. Was it Mickey Moniak?
Yeah, did Mickey Moniak, and then he was hit, and then we'll never know what would have happened with Mickey in all seriousness
if
he
didn't get hit with that pitch
at the end of spring training.
Yeah.
Because
he
had,
the ball well.
That's what I'm saying. We'll never know. If he, and then as soon as he hit his first home run with Anaheim, he broke his hand, and he got hit with the hand again the next game or whatever it was.
And by the way, I was wrong about that Colorado series. It was those first two games were at Citizens Bank Park.
Yeah.
I thought it was two and then one here.
But they
two and then one.
The Kazoo Matsui Grand Slam was in game two.
Ugh. Yeah, well, they won the World Series next year.
Yeah.
Alan Exton, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hello, Al.
Albert? Hello?
Alfred.
Alfred. Hello, hey, Alfred.
Call me Big Al.
Big Al.
Now, look, here. I want the Phils to face the Mets. The reason being is I'm a Cardinal fan, have been a Cardinal fan since 1942,
and you're afraid of the Fightins.
Well,
a little bit.
You know, I got Molina, Wainwright, and Pujols.
Also, disrespect.
How can I root against them, even though I'm so excited for the Phils?
Now, where'd you grow up, Al?
Wilmington, Delaware.
Now, hold on, Al. I know you're an elder, but how are you a Cardinals fan growing up in Wilmington, Delaware back in the day, and there's no way you were able to regularly see Cardinals games back in that era? How'd you become a Cardinals fan, Al?
1942, they were playing in the World Series against the Yankees. How do I get this sound? Everybody was rooting in my neighborhood, was rooting for the Yankees, and I just normally go against the favorites.
Are you a Cowboys fan?
Ooh, no.
Who are you a fan of?
I watched the Sixers and the Eagles eagerly. I enjoy watching the Phillies. I would be rooting for the Phillies, except for the fact that they'd be playing against my boys.
I don't like this, Big Al.
Listen, Al. Kind older gentleman.
Yes, very respectful.
But he's basically an old school troll. Everybody else in this neighborhood is rooting for the Yankees. Now, we don't know why. What do I know? You go, I don't want my neighbors to be happy, so let me go against them. Then, in Wilmington, Delaware, the Cardinals, the only games he saw that whole year, if he saw any of the Cardinals that year, were when they played the Phillies and that World Series. There was none of that. There was no way. There was no access to watching these guys.
You know what it felt like,
too? In the 40s.
It felt like he wanted to commit to being a Phillies fan, but he just has to hold his ground.
I am so confused at that whole call. Yeah, he's trying to tell us that he's a Cardinals fan because they were playing the Yankees.
Right. And all his neighbors were rooting for the Yankees.
He said one thing. He said, I always root for the underdogs.
Yeah.
Okay, so after that, you stopped rooting for the underdogs and you just picked the Cardinals?
Right, because the Cardinals had a lot of good years between the 40s and now. They've won a bunch.
What the hell?
Yeah. Here's the worst part. The World Series wasn't on TV. Booty just checked in 42. So he was listening to the game, trolling his neighbors.
That's awful.
Imagine little Al in the neighborhood rolling around, trolling on his bicycle.
With his transistor radio.
Transistor radio sitting there on patroller, as Booty calls it, going with a crank. And he's sitting there going, look at you guys, man. Yeah, that's how everybody spoke to him. Somebody threatened him with a Tommy gun. That's the kind of gun they had back then.
Get a little out of here.
Tommy gun, it shoots all over the place. You aim right at somebody, it's shooting all over the place.
I think I kind of respect it more now. The fact that he went radio and did it, like, this is, like, now
there was
we,
no TV to go.
Now we know the troll job. I respect the troll is what I'm getting at here. Not so much everything else. Everybody's
in the neighborhood listening on the radio to the World Series.
By the way, when I was a kid, I used to listen to the Hartford Whalers in bed because mom sent me to bed, no TV.
Be honest with you, baseball of all the sports is the one that translates best, in my opinion, in a lot of ways to...
On radio?
Because of the pace. Like Tom McGinnis is great for us. Yeah. A lesser person would struggle with basketball. Yep. It's just Tom's incredible. Because without the visual, it's just boom, 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 boom. Football, there's so much downtime. Like, you don't, on TV, they give you a bunch of other stuff and promos and stuff. There's like 8 minutes of action through a whole 60-minute football game. It's just a bunch of quick, 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 quick.
True.
Baseball, you have that time to breathe in that way, but not downtime because what a pitcher's doing is deliberate.
True.
It's not just downtime. It's not just huddle. Like, let's just talk. Like, imagine if there was a mound visit after every pitch.
I don't know. That's football. I don't know how Vin Scully ever did it. By himself.
Crazy.
By himself
for decades.
Speaking of Tom McGinnis, sometimes I don't even tune in to listen to how the Sixers are doing. I'll just tune in because of him. He's amazing.
He's incredible.
His voice is great.
Tom's fantastic. So he's in there trolling his neighbors. And he's kept the troll up now for 80 years.
See, that's why I respect Big Al.
For 80 years?
Big Al.
A long time.
To troll somebody?
Big Al.
Man, listen, I am petty.
Thinking you're...
And I hold grudges with the best of them. I can't do it for 80 years. 80 days, I could do.
But what was he trying to say? What was his point?
He basically wants to root for the Phillies.
But he can't.
But he can if they play the Mets.
Oh, okay.
If they play the
that
Mets.
That would make a little bit more sense.
He can root for his team against the Braves.
Yeah, but sooner or later, it would probably get to the point where they had to play each other.
Yeah, and then he's going to once again side against all his people. Little 8-year-old Al trolling his neighbors. That's, like, oh, my goodness. Carol Ann and Lancaster, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Carol Ann?
Yes.
Hello, how
Hello,
are you?
Hello, Tyrone.
How are you today?
I am the happiest lady in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Sounds like it. It's good to hear from you.
Oh, I am. You know, I've been a fan since 75. So people say, how do you do it when they play bad? I say, I take an emotional step back. Well, last night, my husband and I are watching the game. I said to him, I'm okay. I took a step back. They win. I'm jumping up and down like the players on the field, and I have a walker. He said, you did not take any steps back. I called the Phillies today, and I got my playoff ticket.
Nice.
Oh, congratulations there. That's fantastic.
Thank you. The DS is going to be October 15th. They didn't tell me I couldn't say, so I am.
No, you'll have to say.
Yeah, so I got tickets for the CS, the DS, the WS in the Diamond Club.
I'm
having a birthday on October 16th, and just between us guys, because it's a military secret, I'm going to be 75.
Happy birthday. Yeah.
Thank you.
Before we let you go, Carol Ann, I just want to let you know you're a permanent part of the show now. So you have anything to say to Ricky Batalico?
Ricky, I've watched you all your career. In 93, I was a full season ticket holder. And I always liked you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Carol Ann. And we'll be playing your sound drop till the end of time. You have a good day today there, Carol Ann.
Ricky Dickey.
There it is.
I was hoping she'd say it again. But
I was going to ask her if she was in the TV. She wasn't answering. You don't remember that, do you?
In the TV?
Poltergeist.
Oh.
Carol Ann.
Oh, that's right. Carol Ann.
Yeah. Carol Ann.
Nice, Jen.
Pretty good impression. I didn't know you could do that. Tony in South Jersey. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Tony?
Hello.
How you doing today, buddy?
I'm a little older than our friend before me. I'm 82 years of age, and I'd like to bring something out which will help the Phillies.
Are you going to tell them that they should move Kyle Schwarber out of the leadoff spot?
Please don't say
that. No, that has nothing to do with that.
Okay.
I was with the Phillies in 1950 with an excellent pitching staff, an excellent fielding staff, missing multiple long ball hitters with the exception of Del Ennis. They had a small offense, which was equivalent to Richie Ashburn and many of the other players who scored runs playing small ball. They went up against the Yankees. They got beat 4 games in a row. But I give hope to the current team. Congratulations.
Well, Tony. Two things. One, where'd you watch the games when you used to go to games back in the day?
Well, I'll tell you what. I even watch games at Connie Mack Stadium when the A's were in town.
Mm-hmm.
I played in Connie Mack Stadium because I was a linebacker for South Philadelphia High School. And when we won the city championship, we always played the Catholic League. And we beat Bishop Newman, the other team from South Philadelphia.
And one more thing there, Tony.
Say it again.
Now, we love you, Tony, but you called in saying that you talked about the team playing small ball and then say they lost 4 straight. Now, come on, Tony.
That's the reason why. Compared to the current team with a good
with the home runs.
Beginning pitching staff, a secondary pitching staff that's coming along, a bullpen that is still building and getting better and better. And here's what I haven't heard the whole morning that I listened to you. If it wasn't for the young guys, and if it wasn't for the new guys, and if it wasn't for some of the pickup guys, the Phillies would not be going into the playoffs.
You're absolutely right about that. We did mention the daycare and Schwarber, which was new guy. But, all right, I do like an old school guy who say, don't go small ball.
I was stunned.
Yeah, because I thought he was going to lead to, no, that's what they have to do. Instead, he's saying no. Try to hit a bunch of home runs.
Well, last night was typical of how they normally won this year. Hit some home runs, get some good pitching, and walk off the field.
Yes. All right, 610-632-0975. What, you didn't do anything wrong?
No, you started laughing. I didn't know.
It wasn't because of you. It wasn't because of you. We got a lot of things coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. And once again, Booty and I have a side bet. Uh-oh. And we will be back here on 97.5 The Fanatic at NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Best show ever, 610-632-0975. 4 o'clock hour brought to you by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online at LandisBC.com. We've been talking about the Phillies all day long. And on the line right now, does a fantastic job covering the Phillies for The Athletic, Mr. Matt Gelb on the Comcast Business Hotline. How are you today, Matt?
Hey, guys. The Phillies are in the playoffs, so
Phillies
excited, right?
The Phillies are in the playoffs indeed. You saw how everything went so well after, well, it starts off bad. They get rid of Girardi. They part ways with them. They immediately win 8-9 in a row, and they take off. Kind of oddly, Bryce Harper comes back. They lose 10 of 13 in the month of September. This wild ride, what were you observing when you were watching all the celebrations yesterday after this kind of roller coaster season?
I think what was the coolest part of it was that, you know, some of the guys who've been here the longest, like Aaron Nola and Zach Eflin, you know, the two longest tenured players in this roster, I mean, they had a huge part in the clinching game, and it felt appropriate, really. I mean, when you think about how it's been 11 years now, Friday's going to be 11 years to the day since their last playoff game, and it's been a long journey. And for the guys who've been here the longest, like Nolan Eflin, they saw a lot of bad baseball. I mean, they went through a lot of managers, a lot of pitching coaches, a lot of teammates. And I thought it was really appropriate for those guys to have a big hand in the clinching game. But you're right, it's been an up-and-down season. And in the end, it's a roster that's better than they've had the last few years. And that's where they are.
How would you describe Bryson Stott? It just seems whenever he's at the plate in a big moment, he's just so confident. The moment doesn't get too big for him. And that home run, even though Kyle Schwarber said, I'll show you how it's really done with some power right after it. You know, how do you describe Stott?
Yeah, he's been steady, right? I mean, I think last month in September, I mean, it really looked like he hit a wall. And you could understand, I mean, this is the longest season of his life. You know, he's a rookie shortstop, and he's played more games now this year than he ever has before. And, you know, you'd expect him to kind of hit a wall. But I think what's impressive is that he's responded. You know, and he's made some more mistakes in the field, I think, the last few weeks. But you've seen him really separate those mistakes and not carry them into his at-bats. He doesn't seem like the moment is too big for him. And talking to teammates and coaches, you know, they're really impressed with how he's handled himself. And I think what sticks out about Stott is that he's gotten better as the year has gone on. And that's all you can ask for from a young player. You want to see a guy who's making adjustments, and he's made the adjustments, and he's really been solid for them.
How big has this whole Jose Alvarado thing been for the Phillies? I mean, he struggled early on, goes down to AAA, and all of a sudden he's back, and he's a completely different guy.
Yeah, I mean, you can make an argument that the guy has been the best reliever in baseball for 2 months now. I mean, he's given up one run in 22 innings since August 1st. He hasn't allowed a run. I think it's in his last, I don't know, like 13 appearances or something, and it's not just the numbers, right? It's the confidence. You see him come in, and I know in the past we've seen a lot of Alvarado, and when he comes in, you kind of just want to close your eyes. Like, you don't want to look because you're not sure what you're going to get. But this is a totally different guy, and it starts with this cutter that he's throwing more than he was before, and it's like a 95, 96-mile-an-hour cutter. And Ricky, I'm sure you wish you had that pitch back when you
played.
I mean, it's an unbelievable pitch. I mean, it's as good as it gets, and he's confident with it.
right? And then he comes back with 101 off of that cutter. It's really hard. It's a hard look for lefties and righties. And he came in the biggest spot in the game Monday night, two men on, one out, or two outs, and a big lefty at bat. Tucker, tremendous player, and got him, and it made it look easy. And then he got the next three outs in the eighth inning, and he's been such a weapon for them. And I expect him to be, if they win in this wild card series, he will have to be a huge reason why, and they are going to lean on him. I really think that you could see him get more than three outs, you know, in these games like he did last night. You could see them try to get him, you know, use him for four outs in one of these playoff games and then bring him back the next day. I mean, they're going to really ride him, and he's been that good. So, makes sense.
We're talking to Matt Gelb, does a great job covering the Phillies for The Athletic. Matt, I want to ask you about the pitcher who was fantastic last night, Aaron Nola, and it looks to me like he was a more mature, maybe physically and mentally, pitcher this year than in previous years. And we've seen, and obviously you've been around the team, where he struggled and had some struggles in September and going towards that finish line. What was different about him overall down the stretch versus previous seasons?
You know, I just think he deserves all the credit here for, you know, really just putting himself in a better place. I think mentally, physically, you know, this guy has started more games than any pitcher in baseball since the beginning of the 2018 season. I mean, he's always been a guy that was going to take the ball for you, but you just, at the end of seasons, you could tell that he was taking the ball, but he wasn't, you know, he wasn't his normal self. He just was out of gas. And I think he put himself from the beginning of the year back in spring training, conditioning, strength-wise, like he put himself in a better position to be a better pitcher come the end of the season. I mean, he knew, everybody knew, you know, what the narrative was going to be about him. He had to show everybody in September that he could be the guy. And the Phillies were asking him to rise to the moment, and I think he ends up finishing his last six starts from September on with a 2.36 ERA in those six starts. And the guy rose the occasion. The Phillies went 4-2 in those six starts that he made down the stretch. Last night was the game of his life, honestly. I mean, he retires the first 20 batters he faces. And it was just like he was in control. You know, like you looked at him and you didn't see a guy who was just getting lucky. I mean, you saw a guy who was in complete control of the game, the pace. It was moving at his pace. And what a great sign that is going into the playoffs. This was his biggest start last night of his career, and now the next one, Saturday, game two of the wild card series, that'll be the biggest start of his career now. So, I mean, you got to feel great about them because Wheeler and Nola appear to be in really good spots going to the playoffs, and if they can steal one of those first two games in the series with those guys in the mound, I mean, they have a shot. They really do.
Matt, where do you believe Bryce is physically?
You know, I've asked just about every other day, you know, is he healthy, and he's not on the injury report, so he is not saying to them that he's hurt. I see a guy, there's been flashes, right? I mean, we see really good at bats. We haven't seen him drive the ball like he normally does, and I think he's searching for it. You can tell that, like, he's trying to go to the other way sometimes because I think he's just trying to get his timing right. He's trying to use the middle of the field, and that, you know, he believes is going to get him back on track where he can really turn on a pitch. I get that. He's clearly searching for it. And I know it's been a struggle for him because he wants to be the guy, right? You know, that is when Bryce is at his best, is when he is the guy. And they don't need him to be the guy, though. You know, like, they have so many pieces around him right now, especially when Schwarber and Hoskins can get going at the top. They don't need Bryce to do everything. And I think that's kind of been the message from some of his teammates. It's like, just be you. You don't have to be the guy, capital T, capital G. I mean, just be you. And if they get, you know, just a little bit of Bryce like that, that is going to go a long way. And, you know, he's pushing. You know, like, I think he's pressing and he's trying to come up with big hits. But, I mean, he has not been at his best in the last few weeks, and the Phillies still got there. So that should be a sign to Bryce and to his teammates that he just needs to be a little better. Doesn't have to be a lot better, just a little better, and this team can go further.
Matt, talk a little bit about how good of a job Dave Dombrowski has done constructing this ball club.
Yeah, I mean, look, like, it's funny. I actually thought it was funny because last night, I mean, you know, Nola and Eflin were both acquired by Ruben Amaro Jr., which, you know, he was in the broadcast booth last night, and I think it was, I talked to him after the game, and he said he was getting a little emotional because, you know, he brought those guys here, and here they are, you know, ending this drought. But, you know, I think what Dave did was put some of the finishing touches on this roster.
if you'll remember, I mean, Alvarado was his first acquisition. That was his first trade he made when he took over the Phillies, and that's been a huge trade for them. But Schwarber, I mean, look, like Schwarber was the biggest acquisition I think Dombrowski has made, and he's had such an impact off the field and on the field. You know, it's interesting because remember how we were feeling between games Saturday, that doubleheader? Yeah, that first game Saturday was one of the worst games they played all year. And inside the clubhouse, Schwarber was saying, look, it's one game. We got another game. Let's go get it. And he puts his money where his mouth is. And the first at-bat of the game, that second game Saturday, it's a home run. And the first at-bat Monday night in the clinching game, it's a home run. 46 homers this year. And his contributions have gone beyond the numbers, too, really. I mean, he is the leader in that clubhouse. A huge acquisition made by Dave Dombrowski. Some of the other ones haven't necessarily worked out. You know, I think they're looking for a little more from Castellanos. They need Dave Robertson to step up here at the back of the bullpen. Noah Syndergaard's kind of an interesting guy. I think he'll be on the postseason roster, probably as a traditional reliever. We'll see. But yeah, Schwarber, I mean, sticks out to me. He's been Dombrowski's best acquisition for a lot of reasons.
Well, Matt, thanks so much for the time, as usual. Last thing, I guess hypothetically there's still three choices possibly for who they could play. Who of those three between the Braves, the Mets, and the Cardinals, the most likely opponent, which one do you think they match up the best with, assuming they have all their starters lined up, which they should?
Honestly, I don't know. I think it's a push. I really do.
Okay.
I think they're in. You know, I wonder, you know, people are scared of the Mets because of the way the Phillies played them this year. But, I mean, the Mets, if they're in that wild card series, there's going to be a ton of pressure on the Mets. All of the pressure will be on the Mets because they are not supposed to be playing that three-game series. You know, it's not. I don't think it's a bad matchup for the Phillies. Not as bad as it looks on paper. There's going to be a lot of pressure on the Phillies, on the Mets, and that's not a bad spot to be if you're the visiting team.
Well, Matt, we are picking up what you're putting down, and now you for the first time, I guess ever. Yeah, you're not that old a guy. You get to cover postseason baseball, man. So it should
be fun.
I
was around.
Oh,
hey,
you were?
This is like my 12th year covering the team. I mean, this is it's been a long time.
All right, so
that
means
been around
that was your
a long
first
time,
year,
man.
And then you had a drought after 1 year.
I covered the 2010 and the 2011 Phillies, so okay. I saw postseason ball 2 years, and then the last 10 years has been. It's been a lot of bad baseball, so it's exciting to see. It's cool to see people excited about them,
yeah.
And I can't wait to see what happens this weekend. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
It's well, okay to call the last 10 years hell.
It was a lot of that.
You had to be routed every day. Enjoy the rest of your day, and look forward to your work this weekend, man.
Yeah, talk to you guys soon.
All right, man. That was Matt Gelb on the Comcast Business Hotline. He covers the Phillies for the Athletic, so... yeah, this is something. That Mets thing, though, I'm starting to live it, huh? I'm starting to kind of like it. Like part of me is thinking, like, I do hate them. So
hey, I want you to. I'm going to ask you a question.
Yeah, do answer.
What would be
side.
The most satisfying thing that could happen in the first round of the playoffs?
All right, there you go. We'll answer that on the other side and have your phone call 610-632-0975, and we'll be back here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
Best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic. NBC Sports Philadelphia. Best show ever. 610-632-0975. Word of the day is playoffs, obviously. I mean, Philly's finally in it. Break the long, long, long drought. And we have a big event coming up this weekend, Jen. Could you tell us about it?
Yes, it is the Darren Dalton Foundation Celebrity Guest Bartending Event. It's on Sunday. We're giving away a pair of tickets right now. If you want to be caller 7 at 215-263-0975. The event's happening from 1 to 4 on Sunday inside the Sport and Social Club at Live Casino. And then there's an Eagles viewing party afterwards, of course. Tickets are on sale right now at DarrenDaltonFoundation.org. All proceeds benefit the DDF, who helps those suffering from brain tumors and brain cancer. Guests include 30 former Phillies. Maybe perhaps one of our own is going to be there.
He is trying his best to get there. Yes, I am scheduled to be there.
Okay,
one way or the other, I'll either be there before, after, or whatever.
Got to work.
Lovely, yes. Work gets in the way. So we're giving a pair of tickets away to the guest bartending event. So if you want to call 215-263-0975 and be caller 7 right now, you will win.
Yes, thank you, Jen. The only requirement there, if you can't make it this Sunday from 1 to 4, don't try to win the tickets and have them go... And if you can't actually make it, because that'd be just a waste.
Great event.
Yeah.
I did it last year. I mean, there were a lot of people there.
You know,
it's a lot of fun.
You made any drinks last year?
I did. I was bartender. I'm not afraid to get behind that bar.
Not just like cracking a beer, like you actually mixed the cocktail.
I'm one for me, one for you.
Oh, yeah. All right.
That guy.
I like that.
I feel like most times I'm pretty easy on a bartender. I rarely do I drink drinks that have more than two ingredients. No,
it's more the foundation.
I'm talking about regular bartenders as well. I'm saying when I go to a bar.
You would enjoy me.
It's just two things. I don't really order drinks.
Oh, yeah. You're not ordering a...
fine cocktails and spirits.
Don't tell me you want something that I have to do, put six different things in. I'm not making it.
You want an espresso martini for me?
Yeah, I can do that. But if you want, just make it easy. Gin and tonic.
That's what I mean. Two ingredients. That's what I mean. Jack, Coke. Like, that's what it should be.
Tequila, soda.
And trust me,
that's what I do. I keep it simple.
You come to me at the bar, you're getting a lot more Jack than Coke.
All right.
That's all.
I am that guy. I'm an over-server.
So that'll be cool. And obviously, Darren Dalton was part of the family here at 97.5 The Fanatic up until he unfortunately passed away. Herb in West Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Right, love y'all show, man.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I know a caller had came in and said on the show one time that add an exclamation point, but y'all also should add reality on there, too.
Thank you. He's talking about the name.
Because y'all great, man. My wife loves Tyrone.
We all do. I do what I can do when I can do it.
But the Fighting Phil showed me something, man.
They did.
We wondered why they didn't show that passion. I think it was the load that was lifted off their shoulders, because you seen it last night. When they interviewed them guys. It was the weight that was on their shoulders.
Yep.
Them guys been there 10 years, not 10 years, not all of them 10 years, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, and they can play free, man. They get into this
they can
series
play free
and
now.
They can
it
just
don't matter
go.
Who we play.
Yep,
it
I do
don't
think
matter
it,
who we play.
I think it. I think I it was like weighing on them, and that's where I think it's so significant that Schwarber started it off with a home run right away. I think that allowed it. That didn't necessarily show with all the at bats, but everybody can now relax because the guy who's been there. He gave everybody a lead. I don't think it's that. To me, that's a thing. I'm so glad he started that game that way to make it easier on everybody else. I got this, fellas. And then the next one, they all knew when you cut, they knew. They knew at that point. Like we're gonna actually get in.
Yes. So it don't matter who we play. Line them up. Mm-hmm. The weight been lifted. I was gonna send Ricky Bowe as my assassin to them guys. Like, wake up. Well, look. It's great. Everything is great,
man.
I know what you're talking about. House money. I don't think the players are thinking like that. Players are thinking, let's go win this thing,
win the whole thing. And that would be, see,
that would be special. That would be unbelievable.
But now that they're in, I can dare to dream. When they're losing 10 or 13, I can't dream.
And maybe he's not.
Well,
there.
You've already got SB. Are you going to get WS now?
You know what? I'm gonna wait for the matchup. I'm going to wait for the matchup because I'm telling you, there's a way to play those Mets. Maybe you got to make Suarez pitch a little more. Win this game somehow tonight. Padres lose. That's what you have to do to play them, right? You can't stay where you are.
Nope.
So you have to win out or win, and then the Padres.
I said
a tiebreaker with the Padres.
Damn, I'm close, man. I said 88 wins at the beginning of the year.
See? That's damn good.
Quote, unquote, I said 88, and they'll sneak into the wild card. I was told I was crazy that 88 won't get them into the wild card.
I have to admit, when Schwarber hit that home run, I was on trash duty. So I walked the trash.
You didn't see it?
I walked the trash outside. I put it in the trash can. Yeah. And as I opened the door back up, I saw the replay of it. I couldn't be the only one that happened to, right?
Taking out the trash, you may have been the only one.
What helped was I was watching the Sixers. Maxie's doing his thing. Simmons still can't shoot. That was and the Sixers won. That's the whole game. And then I'm going back and forth. And I knew, so I'm watching pregame, and I'm like, okay, we'll get there. I'm going back and forth, and everything, somehow my rhythm was perfect.
You got
of back and forth, so I got everything.
You got lucky.
Well, it's funny. You've been over in our studios. Yeah, you know, everybody's kind of settling in. I'm getting ready to sit down. I said, that's gone.
It's just boom. Yeah, you come back upstairs, yep. And you go to watch it.
I literally was like walking around my desk, and I kind of turned around, looked at the TV, saw the pitch. I went, that's gone. I mean, he crushed that pitch.
Yeah, he did. And I was like, and honestly, I will say it made me a lot more comfortable as a fan. I got to imagine some of those players that have been squeezing that bat too tight were at least able to just, all right, we start with a lead.
I don't know if Nola was that good or the Astros were hitters looked very disinterested or didn't want any part of him, one of the two.
Yeah, I mean,
that was in the back of my mind. Just the Schwarber thing, though. I would imagine. Think about what he said to the team. So not only is he saying something to inspire everyone.
It's all good, people.
Then he does it in the first at-bat. I mean, seriously, imagine being Stott.
Like a prophet.
Boom. Yeah. You're sitting there, you're listening to the message he's selling you, and then with the blink of an eye, he delivers on it.
Maybe we should just call him the prophet.
I'm okay with that. I mean, doesn't look like most prophets, no. But he plays like them.
It's 2022.
Put an old robe on him.
There you go.
Yeah, he'll look like one.
Yeah, he can never shave that beard now. He's keep it forever. At least around here. Like, he can go shave it if he lives somewhere else. Know. But every time he comes back to Philly for the rest of his life, you can't imagine him now without that beard now.
You know, I love him. He reminds me of a lot of the guys that I played with. He's that type of guy. You know? Let's go drink some beers and hit home runs. I think that's beautiful.
Yep, and that is one negative thing is about the season was once they do the celebration, and we've talked about this, the first time we actually get to know some of these guys. And they're like, wait a minute. These guys aren't that unlikable. I wish they could have shown some of
that. It sucks that it took this long.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Because I do believe that everyone's approach to the team is different.
They don't get it. That's the problem. They don't understand that. They don't get that they're not attached to the fan base.
Well, this is going to go a long way. And Hopefully. They'll think that it was just the winning. It wasn't. How they acted after they won played a big role because I saw all those social media people going, oh, that guy seems like a good guy. Why'd I think he was a jerk?
Never heard from Casty, though.
Never heard of
him. I had to throw that
in there. And baseball's different, though. While it does matter to connect with Embiid and Maxey, and we definitely do, but the long journey of so many games, when it comes to baseball, there is a different connection level. It's all summer long. It's going down to the shore. It's everything with the summer and baseball where you need to feel as one. I don't know if it necessarily relates to some of the other sports the same way.
Yeah, 610-632-0975. On the other side, we'll get to more of your phone calls. And later on in this segment, we'll have What's Brewing with Jen here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. We'll get to the lineup in just a little while, but let's update our Twitter poll with Jen Scordo. Hello, Jen.
Hello. Who would you rather the Phillies face in the first postseason series? Braves, Mets, Atlanta. Right. Braves, Mets, or Cardinals. Right now, Cardinals are winning overwhelmingly at 81%.
And that's still the most likely scenario, but there is still a path because the Phillies have the tiebreaker with the Padres. And because the Braves did lose to the Marlins, there is still a path where they end up could play the Braves hypothetically, but the most likely one is indeed the Cardinals.
The Cardinals are the most likely, but I think that poll is saying that people are scared to play other teams.
Yes.
Well, I'd be
afraid.
Afraid to play the Braves.
Wait a minute. Since Thompson has taken over, the Phillies are like well over 600 baseball.
They're very good since then.
So that's one of the best in baseball, period.
But the tough part is those Braves played really well in September while the Phillies didn't.
Yeah, well, it's October. It's a red October.
It is a red October.
Is it a red October if we don't get to see it at home?
Yes.
It is.
I was thinking the same. I got to tell you, that thought crossed my mind.
I'm not going to knock them for it. I'm just saying you wouldn't get. Imagine if we got a home game compared to if we did.
I probably got a call about tickets, though.
They definitely need a home game.
Well, you could sit next to Carol Ann in the Diamond Club.
Yeah, there you go.
Whoa.
What?
Oh, if I can afford that.
I think she got you a ticket. She's definitely got
Tricky Ricky one.
Yeah, for all of yeah.
Ricky Dicky.
And then they'll carry it over if they don't make it all the way. They carry it over into seating tickets next year on the account. The Phillies do a great job with that kind of stuff. It's been a long time. I would like to be in the building for a home playoff game if they get one.
I'm already in there.
Yeah, you're already in there. Yeah.
How about you get the best show ever, a little hookup?
I have a press pass.
No. We got to work out something. No. I'll say this. Now, I've tried these other things, and they usually ignore me. But I'm going to put this out
there. There are press passes that go out for the playoffs.
No press, nothing. If they make it, NBC Sports Philadelphia is around the corner. If they get a home playoff game, we should be doing the show from down there.
Okay.
With their people, the cameras there, and we're out there.
Yes.
At the park.
Amongst the people. I love it.
We should be down there. Even if it's early in the day.
Showing our faces.
We should be down there doing the show because this hasn't happened in 11 years.
So and then go hide in the bathroom.
Well, by then, once you're in, you're in. Man, once you're in, I got enough people then.
I don't think I'm going to be hiding in bathrooms.
No,
that was a joke.
If we get in, if they get a home playoff game, which will, got still some ways to go, we should be doing the show from down there.
I agree.
I'm in.
Yeah, we should be doing the show from down there. I'm just saying. I'm just putting it out there.
I'm just hoping nobody ignores you this time.
Well,
the people hear it.
Well, yeah. And they say, yeah, we heard you.
Yeah.
And that's all.
They pull Ricky's move and they go hide in the bathroom.
They go, where's everybody? Hey, forget about it. Stephen Bortentown, you're on 97.5 for that.
Hello. It's been a long time since the Phillies made the playoffs.
Yes.
I'm so happy. I've been a Phillies fan since 1970. I was 9 years old. I'm now 60 years old. And Ricky.
Yeah.
My best scenario for me would be to see the Phillies beat the Mets or Braves and eliminate them from the playoffs.
He wants both of them.
Well,
either one.
There is a way to play both, back-to-back.
No, it would be, you'd have to go, no, it wouldn't be back-to-back.
No.
I don't think. Can it be?
I don't think so, off the top of my
head. Yes, because
you'd be seeing the if you played the Mets as the second wild card.
You'd be seeing the Dodgers, so you'd have to see the Braves in the NLCS.
Yeah, so there's no way to quite do it that way.
But I'm good with that. If they take out both of them, that means they're in the World Series.
Yep.
Steve?
Sorry, Steve. I apologize, Steve.
Wasn't sure if he was still there.
Yeah, I didn't know if he was still there. Real fast, Andrew Painter with another award, now the MLB Pipeline Pitching Prospect of the Year.
He won the Baseball America?
Yeah.
I mean, he's getting a lot of accolades. This guy's in the big leagues next year, there's no doubt in my mind.
He has to be. He's just one of those guys. And that's the part that's a little bit exciting now. Because now you're talking about adding a guy to a good team versus looking at him like a savior.
He leaped over Mick Abel, too. At one point, Mick Abel was the guy that we were just loving, and then all of a sudden, he's out here destroying.
And Abel will still, he may also at some point next year also reach the majors. It's just Painter's so good.
It helps that you have a 1-2 already. It just helps.
Yeah.
It helps with your minor league system that they could come up, they could grow. They don't have to be the, top notch. You think about this. Steven Strasburg, when he came up.
Right.
Do you remember this?
Yeah.
I mean, this was the biggest thing since apple pie when this guy came up to the big leagues, but he had to be the ace.
Right.
These guys don't have to do that.
Just come in and blend it. And because they're going to be watching their innings, because, I mean, he's 19, they're going to be watching his innings, you can skip them. You can do all that stuff because your top guys want to stay in rhythm a lot of times, especially Wheeler, anyway.
And you have guys like Falter, Christopher Sanchez, who could step in and pitch a game here and there if need be. So, I think it would be a good idea. I mean, if he's that good, which it seems to be he is, because when you move three separate slots in the minor leagues in one season, it doesn't faze you one bit. That's a guy that's ready.
He had a sub-2 ERA at every level.
Yeah, he's ready.
At every level, had a sub-2 ERA.
And double-A is not that much. I know it's different than the major leagues.
These are good players.
But as soon as you could dominate at double-A, you could pitch in the big
league. It helps, too, considering it's not as if the free agency class this year for starting pitchers wows you. It's bad. Right.
Well, that's why I'm saying. I mean, Reese, actually, I think that's why he was emotional, because he knows this could have been his last shot in Philly on top.
Yeah, because if you're talking about a player to move for a pitcher.
That's him.
He's that clearly the most obvious one.
That's it.
Yeah, because Segura's just going to walk, most likely. You're not going to pay him.
Yeah, I would highly doubt they would bring him back.
Yeah, and you have a shortstop. You probably sign a shortstop.
Okay.
And then here comes and then you just move.
Well, there's going to be three major shortstops out there. Because Correa's going to opt out of his contract.
Yep.
Trey Turner and Dansby Swanson.
Well, what about Bogarts?
Bogarts, too.
Yeah, and apparently there's some already intel that Dombrowski really likes him.
Well, there's a lot of people that like him.
Well,
I'm still going to become a free agent.
They have the connection.
No, the connection.
Let me put it this way. There's definitely people that have been talking and how much it's going to cost them and what. Yeah, they know.
Yeah. Tom in Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Tom?
Time to eliminate the question mark. You are the best show ever.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you.
Yeah. And I'm not from Philadelphia, but I have been here for over 60 years, so I consider myself Philadelphia.
Well, at that point, you're from Philadelphia, if it's that long.
Yeah, even though I came from Manhattan. The Giants left Manhattan and went to San Francisco, so I left. And I'm a Philadelphia fan now, all sports.
We love
that. Question. Mm-hmm. My question is, could this be analogous to 2007 or 1976 even, when the Phillies went on their two best runs that I can remember? I think it can be, because we basically accomplished this season without Harper at near his best, at his MVP like last year, without Nick doing anything. And we now have Dombrowski and a minor league system and talent evaluation going on that looks like we could put together a nice little run here.
What do you think? The start of something. Yeah, I think this year, if you're asking me right this minute, I don't think they're ready to win the whole thing right now, because those Dodgers and Astros are really, really good. But is this the building block year to where in the future they could? I think so.
Yeah, this sets the tone where, you know, you better make the playoffs the next 3-4 years in a row. There's no going backwards at this rate. So from that perspective, I think, it is a step in the right direction. And now it's, you know where the bar is, and the bar getting in is going to now move to, okay, next year, it's win a series, if they don't this season.
Yeah, and also compete with those top teams. Now, the Mets and the Braves are really good. You now have to get to where you're with those teams.
The Braves are really good.
Yeah.
The Mets have proven once again that they have these collapses every year.
Well,
so, and trust me, it gets in. They're in their own heads right now.
And that's with another manager.
Pete Alonso was hanging his head the other night after that Braves series.
Well, as much as I want to blame the Mets, and I will say that they definitely did fail with some of those series late. Starling Marte hurt, but also the Braves played at such an epic rate, too. So it's not as if the Mets were a disaster, even though at moments they were. It was more just how well the Braves just played at a rate that is hard to follow.
And I got to assume the Braves next year, is Kenley Jansen signed for next year with them?
I don't know, but they
assume,
don't like him.
Yeah, I would assume they're going to try to do something about that position.
Yeah, because that could end up being an undoing.
That may be their only bad position. They have very Minter. They got some really good middle relievers. Yeah. But when you start to go to that back end, is Kenley Jansen the answer? That's a huge question mark for them
now. They do not
He's
like
He's a UFA.
Him.
He signed a 1-year 60.
Yeah, so he won't be there next
He won't
year.
Be back. They're not happy with him. About to have what's wrong with Jed, but the question of the day, 610-771-9705. 610-771-9705, and that's brought to you by DryTech Waterproofing Solutions. Protect your investment at drytechcorp.com. And the question of the day today is what, Jen?
What was going on in your life the last time the Phillies made the postseason? So 11 years ago.
Yes, 11 years ago, it'll be Friday. What were you doing, Hunter Brody, 11 years ago?
I was in Gloucester Catholic. I guess I was either a sophomore or a junior. I was 16 years old, so I guess that's what, sophomore maybe?
Yeah.
So I had the Justin Bieber hockey hair at that point because that's what was in. With my maroon polo, my khaki pants, and my Eastland shoes.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Ricky Bo, what were you doing?
Same old crap there. I was at the games. I was at the games doing the pre- and post-games.
Jen Scordo.
So
it's hard to believe.
There's
you
a
were doing anything 11 years ago.
Yeah. There's a wine festival in South Philadelphia every year. It's called Vendemia, and they used to hold it in a very small park in the heart of South Philly, and then it got so big they moved it to just outside the NovaCare Center.
Yeah,
it's an afternoon thing. You go out there and you drink wine. There's bands and stuff. And so I was sitting looking at the ballpark when it all happened, and by the time it got to the whole crowd, because there were hundreds and hundreds of people there, it was really pretty cool to be outside the ballpark like that when it happened.
And well, I was assistant chief engineer at a station in New Jersey then. Yeah.
Working?
Yeah.
Are we talking the World Series year?
No, the last time they...
Last time was when
they made the postseason, 2011.
Ryan Howard blows,
Yeah, and that's what I was doing. So what were you doing with your life? High school, job, were you not married, whatever it was, the last time the Phillies made the postseason, because obviously you know what's going on this time, at least hopefully you do. So you can answer that at 610-771-9705. If you don't know what's going on in your life currently, you might have to tighten it up a little bit. And now it's time for us to step aside, because it's time for What's Brewing with Jen. Hello, Jen.
Hello. So we're going to start with some football last night. I'm sure you've seen the replays of this. They don't like to show these things live on TV. I wasn't watching the whole game. Again, I was like you, Tyrone. I was going between the Sixers pregame, the Phillies, Manning cast, and then the actual Monday night football game. So Rams.
Manning cast. Come on, Jalen.
Yeah. I think he gets nervous in front of a TV camera. Ooh. I really do.
Goodness.
Yeah. It was a snooze fest.
Yeah.
Anyway, Rams linebacker Bobby Wagner delivered one of the biggest hits in Monday Night Football last night as he flattened a protester who ran on the field with some kind of device that sprayed out like pink smoke.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that he was a protester. I just thought he was a jerk.
Yeah.
I mean, either way, he's a jerk. But I guess he was protesting something?
Yeah. So
I'm glad he got popped.
What's funny is there was two guys chasing him at first, security guys, one in all black. I think he tore an ACL.
He got hurt. He didn't tear an ACL. He sprained his ankle or something like that.
Man,
it's not as bad as an ACL.
Down that way for a sprained ankle. He was down there holding his leg like he got shot in the leg.
It might not be as bad as an ACL, but a little bit worse than a sprained ankle.
It better be a high ankle. If it's a low ankle sprain, and you saw how he went down? He went down in a heap. I thought the guy tore everything.
By the way, they kept replaying this on the Manning broadcast. They just kept replaying it.
So, and that's why I'm good with somebody's like, oh, he'll sue. I go, well, then, like.
So what?
So what? Like, there has to start being real deterrence from this happening, because this is dangerous.
Yeah.
Because what if it wasn't smoke, but something else on
him
when he runs on
there? They used to tell us if somebody comes on the field, they're free game.
Really? I love that.
Yeah, they should be.
Yeah. It's almost like obligation.
I thought it was a gender reveal. So I thought
it was pink smoke. Yeah,
yeah.
It was pink.
But I thought you said it was a protest. No, what? I actually did.
He really did.
That's been the biggest joke going around social media. these gender reveal parties are getting out of hand.
Someone's running around with pink. Anytime you see pink or blue smoke.
What was the pink smoke then? There had to be something there.
I don't know what he was protesting, but they are calling him a protester.
Stay off the field, and also don't throw anything.
No.
Like when the guy threw the popcorn at Westbrook a couple years ago, and they were like, how dare you say he should be banned? What are you doing? Sit there and watch the game, cheer, boo, do whatever, and don't throw anything and stay off the court.
And
if you can't do that, you shouldn't be allowed to go.
Exactly.
Oh, it's so harsh. Shut up.
It's not that harsh.
Not that harsh. No.
And I honestly almost feel an obligation to the players that are around them to just do exactly what he did last night. Tell them.
And my only thing was, I wish they hit him harder. That's where I was at. Like, good.
He probably only hit him at like 50%,
right? Saying, next
he
time,
really
could
have hurt
full
him.
Go.
Yeah.
He's suing for that. He's a big baby and stay off the field.
Well, I agree.
Yeah, same. All right. A Hooters waitress is getting back at a creep for snapping pictures of her sexy coworkers. Now, one might think just hearing that it's like, okay, well, you work at a Hooters, you're dressed sexy. People are going to kind of gape. He's taking pictures without asking these women first. Not like saying, hey, you, let's get a picture together or whatever. He's just like creepily in the corner snapping pictures of Hooters waitresses.
Mm-hmm.
this one waitress who is looking to be a not a wrestling person. She's a female. What's the other one
MMA?
I'm thinking of? MMA. She's an MMA fighter. Yeah, so you don't want to mess with her.
No.
So she decided to take it in her own hands and turn the camera back on him. And so, unsuspecting to him, she turned her camera around and pointed it in his direction, filmed a little video, of course, put it on TikTok, got hundreds of millions of views because she really embarrassed him and he looked like, I mean, it's embarrassing. As it should be. He was being a creepy.
This is a job. These girls work a job.
Yes. Go somewhere. If you're looking for that, there's plenty of establishments you could go to other than Hooters.
Can't take pictures though,
right.
Yeah, but I understand that.
You shouldn't be taking pictures there.
No.
You know what else you could do? Talk to a girl.
Yeah. Maybe just have a conversation with her, become her friend, take a picture with her.
She will want, I've met Hooters waitresses back in the day.
They will take pictures.
They'll take pictures with you if you don't act like a moron.
A creep.
Yeah, like what you doing?
Right, they're hiding in the corner, taking pictures.
They are wearing an outfit, but let's be honest, it's an outfit.
Right.
What you doing? She's taking pictures of outfits. You know there are people who aren't wearing outfits you can take pictures of, too.
It's a white tank top with orange shorts.
These people are creeps.
That's right.
I mean, literally, they're creepy individuals.
And she called him out.
Good.
I wonder if he'll ever go back to that Hooters. I hope not.
Yeah, he should just chill out.
Just stay away. Yeah. Just stay home for a while. And then this is probably the dumbest person on earth. A guy in India tried to kiss a deadly cobra, like the actual snake, and it flipped around and bit him in the face.
Of course it did.
Of course it did, because they're snakes. That's what they do. He was in a small way, his defense. He was holding it to where they call it the cape or something like that, the top of the cobra's head, you know, the neck part of it that stands up. He was kissing the back of it, so he wasn't kissing, actual front face.
Why are you that close to where they could strike? I want to kiss that thing from a million miles away.
I'm telling you, it's the only small defense that he has. The snake flipped around. It's all caught on video and bit him in the face.
Did he die?
He did not die. He's going to survive the incident. Luckily, a lot of the venom didn't get into his system.
Okay.
Thankfully, I guess maybe his reaction was quick enough or something like that, because he was just holding the snake.
Yeah.
So, thankfully, a lot of the venom did not make it into his system. He's going to be just fine. But you can, an elephant can die from one of these cobra bites. An elephant. This was just, 150-pound man. So.
What are you doing?
I don't know. He's dumb.
And I see these guys that, work at the snake places on TikTok. And
I don't know where you find all this stuff on TikTok.
Man, because it's all there. And the guy is really, really, he's a professional. He shows how careful he has to be. He has, a couple pairs of the tongue-type things. And then he's got a bucket and all this kind of stuff. Because the problem is, he has to clean the cages because the snakes go to the bathroom in them.
Right.
So then they end up making themselves sick being around it. So you have to take the snake out to clean the cage.
Ugh.
So he has to go through, and they have all kinds of, including snakes like that, cobras, pythons, all of them. The constrictors, every kind.
Deadly.
They all have different levels because the constrictors get on you. They can take you out real quick because they take your arm and they have such a tight grip. Now by the time you get help, it's too late.
Oh.
Or the guys, so he has all these different techniques. None of it's easy. And this is what the guy does for a job. Some rando walking up to the snake. What makes you think you're fast enough to kiss a snake?
I don't know.
No. What kind of ego was that? That guy probably couldn't dodge a punch from a 70-year-old man. He thinks he can dodge a snake bite?
No.
Come on, man.
Well, I'm thinking I respect that guy's TikTok more than the bee woman.
The bee woman,
that is great.
No.
Look, I don't understand.
I couldn't watch it.
Skeeves me out.
It
Why?
Skeeves me
it
too.
Turns
but the
me
snakes
off
don't.
Knowing that she's okay with touching that many bees.
So you'd rather have snakes all over your body than, some bees that aren't stinging.
If it was a woman who ran that account, I think I would.
No, this was a fella.
I'm just saying, if it was a woman who was in with the snakes, I would say I'd be okay with the snakes, and then the bees would turn me off.
I don't understand that.
What do you mean? She's just covered in bees all day
long. How about spiders?
Long.
Would you rather have spiders on you?
Oh, no.
Spiders.
I mean, I'm not talking to any of these women, if I'm being honest with you. If they're spiders or bees and that's what you do for a living, they crawl all
but
over you.
But you're okay with the snakes?
I can live with the snakes.
That doesn't make
sense.
Maybe you can get weird with it.
Oh, Lord. No, you take
weird
it
with
there.
A snake?
610-622.
Choke? I don't know.
That did not sound like that.
Oh, that's
610-632-0975.
Very weird. By the way, there are times now for the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday games. Not the teams, but we do know what time.
So we will have, all right, so 5 o'clock hour, tons of your phone calls. We have overtime today, so we'll be going until 6:30 or so. On the other side, we'll have the times for the games and the Phillies lineup, which is very interesting for tonight here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Look at that. It's fantastic. 5 o'clock hour here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. It's brought to you by Guided Door and Window. Receive 20% off with all windows and doors with no money down and up to 3 years to pay off interest-free. Call Guided Door and Windows today at 1-877-GO-GUIDED or visit goguida.com. Word of the day. Playoffs will have overtime today leading up to the final Flyers pregame show. And man, does it feel good to be back in the playoffs because the alternative was hellacious.
Of course. I mean, this is great. I think it's awesome to feel everybody's energy. It's about the community. You could tell everybody's excited. There was frustration involved, and it did get ugly in September, which we've been accustomed to over the years. But they found a way. They beat the Milwaukee Brewers down the stretch, not physically, but as you kind of had to battle through each other's schedules. And, you know, here we are.
You got in. Bottom line, you're in the playoffs. You're 1-12. Let's go do some damage. That's what they should be thinking right now. And I will say this much. For the fan base, they are ecstatic right now. I don't know about you guys, but my Twitter timeline lit up last night.
It did. Now, part of it, I was trying to stay off Twitter on purpose because I'm trying to soak it in. And then the other parts,
I saw our dummy, the guy who works for the morning show, Connor.
Yeah.
He's in the shower with champagne. Shower.
Wait, I missed that.
Yeah. Oh, last night.
Oh, you can find it.
Oh, you find it. He's in the shower with goggles and champagne. Champagne.
Pouring it on himself.
Pouring it on himself. Saying he got in the locker room.
Why would you go into the shower? Why not just go outside and do it?
By himself. Where are the friends?
That stink doesn't go away either.
Like, why not have any of one of his buddies?
Maybe he doesn't have any.
He has roommates. You can't have a roommate do the thing, so at least, like, it's like...
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, why are you... He could have...
Maybe he was a little embarrassed to do it.
Well, it's everybody's shower. He had to clean it off anyway. Like,
it's going to stink for a while.
If I'm going to have somebody do that, I'm saying, hey, Hunter, help me out here. Shake this bottle up.
Dylan said he thinks he lives by himself now.
Oh, he did move. He did move.
Oh, he moved?
He did move.
Oh, he's by himself.
I don't know if he has roommates in his new place, but...
Oh, all right.
Well,
good for him then if he lives by himself now. Then don't do it.
But that's Connor. That's what he does.
Just have a cup of champagne because I don't think he has glasses.
He might not.
I think have a cup of champagine. I
mean, probably wasted
the champagne.
He did.
You got to drink some.
Although he would look at it as if he didn't waste it. The Phillies just got a playoff spot.
Although I got our web guy yesterday.
Oh, you got him?
But he wanted to. He said to hit me with the champagne. So.
Oh. You know what? If they win the whole thing, I wouldn't mind that. I've never had any.
I got to tell you, you know how we get on the Villanova people for the parking lots?
Yeah.
You should have seen, after the World Series, I don't know if you guys went through, I know you didn't, but if you went through the parking lots at the Wells Fargo, there were 30-foot high just bottles.
Yeah.
Like that the whatever came in and pushed them all together.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It looked like a dump.
That cleaning crew in the lots.
They're incredible. Yeah, some jerk at the Eagles game this week, right outside of our building, went into the game. I got pictures of it. Just left all his garbage out, not even in a bag. There's cups, there's cans, there's food.
That's so disrespectful. Yeah,
it's wrong.
Yeah, but they do such a good job.
Most people are good, though.
Most people do. They got their own bags with them, and they make sure everything's straight. Okay, so you have the times, Ricky Bo.
I do have times.
Yes, the times for the game.
All right, now, mind you, this is from... Bob Vetrone Jr.
Yeah, no, but I'd recognize him. Okay. He's a real guy.
It says these appear to be the TV time slots for the MLB wildcard. So Friday and Sunday, 1 o'clock, that's on ESPN, 2 o'clock on ABC, 4 o'clock on ESPN, and 8 o'clock on ESPN.
My gut is saying Phillies are going to play 4 o'clock on Friday.
Would be my guess because 1 o'clock would make that a 12 o'clock game if it's in St. Louis.
Yeah.
But that's why we don't know what time yet because you don't know they're playing yet.
We'll know more tonight.
Then on Saturday, well, the 1 o'clock would suck for us on Sunday.
Yes, although...
Oh, wait a minute. No, that would work out to 4:25. That would be perfect.
Yeah, I'm rooting for... I think we're going to get 4 o'clock on Friday. I hope we get 1 o'clock Sunday so that we can just do the doubleheader.
Right. Well, if it's 4 o'clock, that's going to really suck.
That is the one I want the least on Sunday.
All right, so Saturday, now you have a noon game on ESPN2. I don't see that being them because that's an 11 o'clock game in St. Louis. Then there's a 4 o'clock ESPN game.
That could be their window again.
7:30 ESPN.
They can't rule that one out either.
And 8:30 ESPN2.
That's going to be...
No.
I don't know.
Who's the furthest west team? That would be the Cardinals.
Yeah. Maybe, yeah.
To start? Houston? No, they're not playing.
No, they're not playing.
American League, you have... Oh, Seattle.
Seattle.
Oh, yeah. Seattle's
that'll be the Seattle
win. Seattle win. Yeah. Yep, that's what it is.
So I would assume not to 12 o'clock on Saturday unless they play... No, if they play the Mets, they'll be primetime both.
Yes. New York,
all of them would be primetime.
Absolutely.
But, the 4 o'clocks are the ones that make any sense.
That's the ones that make the most sense. Do you have the lineup in front of you there, Ricky?
I do for have tonight? The lineup.
Because this is going to be an interesting game, and they're doing some kind of I'm intrigued, actually.
A little different, but I think this is purposeful.
Yes.
All right, leading off for the Phils is Bryce Harper. He's DHing. There's number one.
I like that. Get him extra at bats.
Alec Boehm is batting second. So I don't know. He looked a little banged up yesterday. No surprise at first base, Derek Hall.
Yeah.
Brandon Marsh is in center field.
Well,
he's been banged up a little bit. I'm surprised.
I know. Unless
they're doing this switch where some of the guys will play early in the game tomorrow, and he might get it off.
Yeah.
Bryson Stott, shortstop. He's batting fifth.
Yeah.
Nick Maton's batting sixth. He's in second.
I love it.
Vierling's batting seventh and left.
Uh-huh.
Dalton Guthrie gets a start, batting eighth and right. And Stubbsy, he of grabbing his crotch, is batting ninth and catching. It still is Ranger. Don't expect more than 4 or 5 from Ranger.
And I would have given Castellanos some more bats personally, but maybe
I think so too.
I would have played. I'd have started him and told you're going to give me. You got to go.
It's
going to
be tomorrow. Will be interesting because if I'm in a playoff series and I didn't play today, I would say I want 2 at bats.
Right.
I'm just speculating, though. It does seem like he's the type of guy that goes, all right, I'm a pro, I'm a vet.
You don't hit, Brandon. You don't hit home runs.
I agree.
You don't hit home runs.
I also didn't see him once yesterday
I was just going to say, raise your hand if you saw him last night, or speak up if you saw him out there last night.
I didn't see him. No, I'm saying he doesn't hit home runs. This is a chance with low pressure to get that home run stroke.
But the Astros aren't screwing around.
No.
Altuve, Pena, Alvarez, Bregman, Tucker, Gurriel, Diaz, McCormick, and Maldonado.
Well, there's a reason they're big underdogs tonight. Well,
plus, yeah, but Verlander's on the mound, though.
Yeah, they're trying to get him that Cy Young, so he needs to probably go, because he had that injury, 4 or 5,
I'm kind of surprised this game's even on the board, if it is on the board.
It is.
Because you saw what happened last night. It was wholesale changes.
Yeah.
Probably going to be, not with the Phillies, because these guys are probably going to stick.
Yeah, you would think. Maybe Harper doesn't play the whole game. They got another guy that could DH.
He's DHing. He doesn't drink, so he wasn't out.
That's true.
I'm sure.
Yeah, he's fine. Now it's still on the board. Astros minus 240. So massive, like I said, favorite.
240.
And Phillies plus 205.
Holy crap.
It's still up to the minute. So, like I said, I'm a little bit intrigued, though, by the Harper thing, just because if he can break out of it just a little bit, I think he could change the entire fortune of the whole team, because now you have a stud up top and your 3-hole hitters in a groove. I think that could be huge. Mike and Mullica Hill, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yes, hello, Tyrone. How you doing today?
All right, how are you?
I'm doing absolutely fantastic. This has been a great month.
It has.
First of all, I got a chance to host you guys for the Fanatic Backyard Broadcast.
Oh, man, let me tell you.
Oh, hi, Mike.
Man, thank you for the hospitality. Your home was beautiful, the yard, the basement. Let me tell you, it was glorious, Mike.
It was an absolute pleasure hosting you guys. You guys were fantastic. All my friends, nobody has stopped talking about it since. My Phillies are in the playoffs. We're ecstatic. Mm-hmm. And the Eagles are 4-0. What could be any better than this?
And now the Sixers getting ready to start. Flyers getting ready to start. You can make the argument that outside of the weather, this is the best time of the year.
Well, I'm going to tell you, this is absolutely great. And I'll tell you, I cannot feel any better for this Phillies team. These young kids and the veterans, I'll tell you right now, I'm so happy for them to get into the playoffs. And you know what? It's a new season for these guys.
Yes, it is. You know what? The weather you just touched on, Tyrone, doesn't matter for Mike because he's got the hot tub or he's got the pool going.
Got the whole
thing. I mean, he's got the whole thing going.
The whole thing going.
The Ricky Bo signed baseballs.
Yeah,
I'm bummed I couldn't go.
And the seats, those vet seats you have on the wall, it's crazy. It was, man,
vet seats are the best.
Yeah, let me tell you. Well, Mike, we appreciate the call and we're excited. And we'll talk to you again because maybe they go for a little while.
Well, I hope so. And listen, it was an absolute pleasure with you guys. And listen, go Phillies, right?
Absolutely, go Phillies. And we got a Red October, 610-632-0975. More of your phone calls on the other side. Leading up to the question of the day here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 NBC Sports Philadelphia, best show ever, 610-632-0975. Everything okay?
Woo! Just had to get that out.
Hey, God, I'm glad.
Wake up there, bro.
There we go. Right. Man, let me real fast. About to
wake up,
to the
Jen, too.
And we're going to keep talking about the baseball. Now, I know that it didn't rain much of the summer, and I guess there was some drought conditions. But how many days in a damn row do we need all this rain?
It's been raining for like 87 hours.
By the way, I kid you not. My parents live in Connecticut.
Yeah.
My dad is, let me put it this way, on the lawnmower every day doing something with the lawn.
Uh-huh.
I went back there at like the end of July.
Yeah.
There was no grass.
No grass. It was
the whole town. Like, yeah. No grass. And then it rained that night and it just washed off. It was like, because it's clay. It just washed right off. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I would like for it to stop. I had to bring the old shop vac out and get the whole basement. South Jersey
there
basement.
I'm literally knocking on wood. I've been okay there. But be safe out there. And then sure, there's a flooding out there, so people check on your places and stuff. I saw a friend of mine was underwater before they
got to place?
Work. Mine's good so far. Somebody else, though, I know, was boogie boarding.
In the street.
In the street.
Oh, my. It's really bad in Wildwood right now.
Wildwood.
Yeah.
I see Avalon. I saw.
How many inches of rain did they end up getting?
Well,
was it the floodwaters coming?
It's the bay that comes in.
Yeah.
Oh, the bay came in.
And that's what it's doing all over the place. I heard there was small issues in Summers Point, too. That would make sense, though, because that's
Did you see what happened at Tampa Bay?
Yeah.
When the storm was coming in?
Well, at first, it sucked all the water out.
It sucked it all out.
There was
no water in the bay.
And they say that's the tell.
You've been to Tampa, right?
No, I don't.
I used to drive along that road.
I had a boat. I had a boat we used to drive in there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty deep. It just got sucked out.
Out. And I found out that what they do is to keep their outside things, as we go back to the phones, is their outside furniture. They say the hack is you put it in your swimming pool.
Huh.
So if you have a pool.
I've heard of that.
You put it in the swimming pool. Well, so everybody just be safe. Check on all your properties. Make sure everybody's good and. Because apparently you're going to get a bunch more rain tomorrow before it's actually kind of warmer and dry Thursday, Friday. So at least we'll get some nice weather as we watch baseball.
I just need to see the sun again.
Thursday, Friday, you will get to see the sun. I think this weekend you will too, but it's going to be chilly on the weekend. I think Friday.
At least if the sun's out there, I'm okay with
it. Oh, yeah, the sun's coming back. But enough of this rain, but everybody be careful and flooding and stuff. And if we can help in any way, let us know. I mean, none of us can do much without outside of a shop, right? But. I mean, a shop vac, but we probably know somebody who could do something for you if anybody out there needs help. And you can call us at 610-632-0975. Gary in Newtown Square, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Tyrone. Hey, I really appreciate you guys and your crew. I'm glad you got to lead your own show. I really enjoy it. I'm sitting here with my son, Nathan. He was born on October 31st, 2008, which is Philly's parade day.
Yeah.
He was too young when they were, 2010 and 11.
Right.
So I let him stay up late last night and watch them celebrate and clinch, which was really nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's always special to me.
I would vote for St. Louis because, I don't want to see any obnoxious Mets fans. And be one last chance to see baseball's elder statesman, Albert Pujols, before we move on to the National League Championship
Series. Attaboy.
You know what? That is a good thing. Let me ask you this, Gary. Was this the first time you let the son stay up late for anything? Baseball is the first time there was anything to stay up late for.
I think I've let him stay up to watch Game 7 of a World Series, but it wasn't Phillies. Obviously.
That's what I'm saying. This was like the first Phillies. Because I remember, my dad was obviously always playing any games. But for all the big games, there was never any doubt. He was always going to let me stay up and watch for the big moment. Monday Night Football. There wasn't a lot of Philly stuff when I was a kid.
Yeah, and he saw the Eagles win the Super Bowl, which, first of all, it's not on that late, but even if it were up till midnight, I'd obviously would have let him.
Yeah, now that's really cool. And that's
awesome.
You do get to see guys kind of on the way out, Cardinals, if you play them.
Malik, three.
Man, yeah.
Three guys. Greats. Probably three Hall of Famers.
I agree with you. You know two of them because, yeah.
Wainwright's in.
Yeah, so that means yeah.
Oh, Yadier Molina's in.
So all three.
All three.
And listen, half of them kind of end on our terms.
Yeah.
Your career ends when we say so.
I'll tell you what. October 31st, 2008, that was crazy. One crazy day for me. I had to do the parade thing.
Yeah.
And then we had to stop at some point, and then I had to drive back to Connecticut.
Oh, man.
To do trick-or-treating with my daughters that night.
Oh.
So I got out of there like at 3:30, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, this is going to be bad. There was no traffic.
Yes, and I hope that with FanFest reschedule, we get the kind of weather. The weather was nice that day.
Yeah.
I hope we get that kind of weather for FanFest towards the end of the month, just like that parade.
It'll be a little chilly, but it should be nice.
Yeah, as long as the sun's out, like Jen said, you can work with it.
It's pretty cool to hear that, though, about letting the sun stay up, because I remember when I was younger, my mom would say I have to go to bed at a certain time. My dad would be downstairs watching the Flyers. As soon as I'd just sneak on down, and I would stay up and watch all the Simone guy, whatever. I would just
back when they were good all the time.
Early 2000s.
They were good all the time.
I'd be sneaking down and watching, and that stayed with me forever.
You were lucky, because when I was a kid, if you remember the NBA Finals, they'd have games on starting at 10 o'clock at night.
Well, it feels that way now still, because they tip off at 9:30.
Yeah, 9, because of the, well, that's because the West Coast, they got
it. That's what it was. Yeah. I remember it was the Lakers-Celtics. I remember I wanted to watch it. I barely could keep my eyes open.
Yeah, that Bay Area, you see how bad the traffic is there. It's hard for them guys to make it at 6 local time there, let alone it was like, man, I don't know how anybody could afford that or live there or anything right now. But, I mean, God bless everybody that can. Doug, in Schuylkill Haven, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
How you doing, Tyrone?
Hello, Doug.
I love your show. Big fan of all of yous, but especially Ricky Bowe. He tells it like it is, and he's a modern-day Howard Cosell.
These guys tell it like it is, too, here. And ladies.
And Ricky, it's good to see you smiling last night compared to Saturday.
Oh, Saturday, my God. And nobody was happy after that game. Nobody.
It was infuriating.
No, you were on the air saying what I was thinking. So, anyways, what I wanted to run by is a little bit of fine-tuning something. I was never a fan of the one-game playoff, and I preferred a three-game over that. But, unfortunately, we're not the home team. What are your feelings about making the second game, even though we're not going to be at our stadium, making us the home team, so we bat last and strategy?
No, and there's a reason for this. That you are the number three wild card at this point. You do not deserve to be the home team. You do not deserve to have the home team at bats. Look, if you were the second wild card, or the first wild card, fine.
Right.
You get a deserved home game.
Yeah, you can't do it.
You just can't do it.
Because now, what was the value of the Cardinals having the better record all year long if they don't get the last out?
Right.
That's the
and
thing.
And they're a division winner.
Right. Like, what was the point of playing so many games?
As a matter of fact, they're being penalized.
Kind of in a way, yeah. Under the old rules, would have been no question.
I understand what you're saying. The only reason a thought came into my head is because normally if you have a 5-game or a 7-game, it's 2 here, 2 there. Yeah. You're not rotating the home field, so I thought maybe. It was just a thought. You have a good reasoning.
It's a good thought, but there is a penalty for not being either the first wild card or the last division winner.
Yeah.
There's a penalty.
Right. Like, when we talk about all those things that we were talking about were keeping them out of the playoffs, now those are the things that kept them from having the record necessary to be where they are. Not being competitive against the Mets. Losing to the Cubs all 6 times.
Yep.
That West Coast trip. You put enough of those little pieces together, which are realistic, you go from the mid-80s in wins or high 80s into the 90s, and now you got a shot at that. Now, maybe not this year, but other years you'd have a shot because you played consistently over the 162. They had a bad start, too. did Girardi start? I mean, that's all counts.
By the way, we're all going over this, and everybody's like, revenge on the Mets, right, from this year. You want revenge. This is revenge from 2011. I mean, when you're, I don't know, nobody's really carrying that one over.
Maybe because it's been so damn long.
It has. It's been, well.
But there are still a couple guys.
Yeah. like the three-game series, though, over the one.
Yeah. I agree. One's ridiculous, and there's too much luck involved. You're almost penalizing the good team when it's one.
Right.
Because if they just have a bad day, they're out.
A bad day, you're done.
Now they have two other games. It's better. 610-632-0975. We'll get to all your calls before the question of the day, and then we will have overtime. Ricky will have to head to NBC Sports Philadelphia, but the rest will be hanging around for overtime today here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic. 97.5 The
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Fanatic.
97.5 for now. NBC Sports Philadelphia, best show ever, 610-632-0975. Time for the final Twitter poll numbers with Jen Scordo. Who do they want to play, Jen? Let us know.
All right. Who would you rather the Phillies face in the first postseason series? Braves, Mets, or Cardinals? Braves sit at 2.5%, Mets at 16.4%, Cardinals overwhelmingly 81.1%.
Yes, and if you believe the odds tonight, that will definitely be the opponent because because if the odds are...
Don't put it by these young kids.
No, I don't. I say if it goes to chalk, then it's locked in at their third and they're playing the Cardinals.
Well, yeah, but we'll see Maton when he gets a hold of one. He rips it.
By the way, this could be got that little pop.
Could be interesting because young guys don't
care.
Give a blank who's pitching against them. And if it's Verlander and he leaves a couple over there, they're gonna take their cuts.
And as an AL team and all that stuff, how much intel does Verlander have on these kids?
None.
A little bit, but not a lot is what I'm saying.
Guthrie, nothing. I guess Maton a little
on Marsh because he was in the AL.
Yeah, because he probably wasn't expecting to face these guys.
Does he even care though? He's probably just focused on himself.
He probably is. But what I'm saying,
but that makes it even better for the Phillies. One win to hit that 88.
And if they get
to say I was right.
And if they get it, and the Padres lose today, they're the two because they had the tiebreaker.
And you go all out tomorrow if you're the Phillies.
Well, it depends. I'm not going all out to play the Braves. So let's tell me what happened with the Braves tonight. Because if they win, they clinch tonight.
All out. You go all out.
If you win tonight.
No, I know what's going on here. All right, yeah. I guess you don't have to make that decision until tomorrow anyways.
Right. Because you got to see what happens. But
why would the Phillies go all out?
Right, because I'm not going all out if it's
Phillies
any
have no reason to go all out.
No, I'm saying if they have a chance to get that second spot, do they go all out for the second spot?
Especially if it's the Mets.
Well, if they win tonight and the Padres lose, they would be tied, so they would be the two because they have the tiebreaker.
Uh-huh.
I think the Phillies play it very cautiously on Wednesday afternoon because reason being, I think you're going to get your starters some playing time. I think it's going to be Thompson going, who wants some at-bats today?
There you go.
And that's how I think he's going to do the starting lineup.
I bet you Castellanos says no.
Nicky?
Say.
Oh, boy. 610-771-9705 for our question of the day. 610-771-9705. What was going on in your life 11 years ago, the last time the Phillies made the postseason? Ed in Wilmington, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Tyrone, how are you?
All right, how are you?
Everybody else, good day to you.
Good day.
So was that the Cardinals back in 2011,
they got beat by the Cardinals. That's when Ryan Howard blew out his Achilles.
But I always blame Cliff Lee the most in that series.
Yeah, and I like Cliff Lee a lot, but I was working overnight shift, and I hated that shift, but I was listening to the game on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And I am no longer working that shift, so I'm a better man for it. And I think you better dust off a couple seats there. I think Club Tyrone, we need to spruce it up. I think Alvarado, I think Riddick for the Eagles has to be a Club Tyrone member.
I want to face the Cardinals. I met Riddick in real life.
I have a question. Yeah. I have a question. Alvarado can't get in now.
No, he can't.
He could have earlier in the season.
He could have. He can't get in now. Because now it'd be ridiculous. Like, I'm just jumping in now when he becomes the best reliever at all of baseball.
There you go.
Yeah, I've been with Ranger when he was a reliever, became a starter. I've been with all my guys I ride with through the ups and downs. I didn't ride the ups and downs with Alvarado. I didn't.
We need to have a nickname for Alvarado. We need to nickname these guys. He's got to be the armed rooster. He's got to be some kind of rooster. He is a bad man on that mound.
By the way, when we're in the newsroom, we always play Desperado when he comes in.
There you go.
Just change the words. Alvarado.
Oh, yeah.
See, it works.
Look at you singing.
That's a good one. And then that guy Elaine was dating where Desperado was his song and he wouldn't share it.
We need an update
on
the hands.
Could it be our song?
We need an update on the hands from yesterday. Didn't the caller call in about, mentioned Elaine?
Yeah. I was trying to think about why the guy wouldn't share the song with Elaine. Because he talked about how he loved his wife, but she talks with her hands too much. Yeah. And then the guy earlier said that he got her into sports, but now she might be a little too into sports, and now he doesn't like it as much. Because the rule is, if the person you love
the most...
Is
that to be careful what you ask for?
Yeah. The person you love the most is also supposed to anger you the most, apparently, or you don't actually care. Like, you shouldn't tell us what, but I'm sure there's something that your wife does where you go, I'd rather you wouldn't. Is that fair to say?
Not at all.
Okay.
Good
answer.
Everything's perfect.
That's right.
Happily married.
Well, do you think there's anything about you where she would go, I'd rather he didn't?
I don't think that's just because it's her. I think that's probably everybody.
But her specifically, because she loves you.
Yeah,
because I know there's
I
can tell you there's a dozen things where my wife's like, if you could change these things, I'd like you more. Absolutely. Jack in Phoenixville, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hello there.
Hello, Jack. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Excellent.
I got an idea for the rotation for the playoffs. Would be interested in your comments on it.
All right.
But this is totally contingent on Wheeler winning the first game. And I think Wheeler matches up against anybody. All right. But it's a best of three. If he wins, I would like Suarez to pitch game two. And here's why. Remember, it's contingent on the Phillies winning. This is not a knock on Nola. Because then if it goes three, you got Nola. But if it doesn't, you have Nola to open the second series.
Hey, Jack, guess what?
What?
Ricky Pitalico early in the show said that exact same thing.
Sure did.
With the exact same scenario.
I missed it because I was...
That wasn't a diss. I was letting you know it was a good enough idea for former Major League All-Star Ricky Pitalico.
If I was the manager, you know what I would tell my pitchers? I would say you're pitching tomorrow separately.
You'd lie
for game two. I would tell them they were both pitching tomorrow. Don't say anything. You're pitching tomorrow. And just let them go home to the hotel, get them a good night's sleep. Uh-huh. And then after whatever happens there, then you tell them who's pitching.
Sorry I missed the early part.
Jack, I was complimenting your point, Jack.
No, you were absolutely. I like your point.
Want to make sure that Nola gets the ball in the playoffs. So that
one way or the other, he's getting the ball in the playoffs.
No, I know, but when you first brought it up, we didn't necessarily.
I was talking about you have to win game one. If you don't, then you have to pitch Nola.
Yeah. Just making sure we're on the same page.
Yeah, everybody's on the same page. I mean, except for me, who would just go with Rangers no matter what.
You pitch Rangers game one, two, and three.
I feel very comfortable with him. Booty says
probably win all three.
There are only four things keeping his wife from smothering him to death in his sleep. I'm telling you, a lot of these couples were like, listen, the love is strong, but if only you knew. If only you knew. See? That's why you should enjoy all of them.
I'm enjoying everything.
Yeah, you should.
I am.
You should. Lauren Rockledge, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Hello, Laura.
Well, good afternoon or good evening, I guess, y'all.
Good evening.
Okay, first of all, what's up with the uh-oh every time I call? Honestly.
Because we cannot wait to hear what you have to say.
And you've many times
not a joke.
Had beef with Young Hunter, so every time you call and you get screened, I kind of have an idea what you're about to talk about, I wonder what you're about to say about Hunter.
We are going to get to Hunter, but don't be worried, Hunter. But I will tell you that now I know what I'm going to wear to FanFest. So I do have myself a authentic Mitchell & Ness Phillies jersey.
Yes, nice. For my friends at Mitchell & Ness. Yes,
And I'm going to tell you the number. It's Kelly Green, which will go with like the Eagles theme and all that jazz. It's an authentic March 17th, 1981 jersey. Do you guys have any idea?
Mike Schmidt?
No.
Steve Carlton?
Number 45.
Tugger.
Tugger, that is correct.
So the St. Patrick's Day Tug McGraw from 81 jersey.
According to Mitchell & Ness, yeah.
No. You don't have to, there's no doubt about that. Address Hunter.
Okay, so... So, Hunter,
yeah.
So you're saying that you would not be involved with somebody who does the bee thing.
Yes.
But you would be involved with somebody who does the snake thing. Is that correct?
I mean, preferably neither, but in this crazy, ridiculous scenario, yes.
Okay. That makes sense to none of the other members of the show. So go ahead, Laura.
Okay. So here, let me just point some things out there, Hunter. The bees... They're honeybees.
Yes.
And they are outside of your home, and they basically do their own thing. You basically just collect the honey and make sure they're cool.
Gross.
Snakes, on the other hand, live inside your house, and you have to feed them live animals.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, I mean, I neither do really move the needle, but I'm just saying, I think it's disgusting.
Don't forget the snakes in the toilet either.
Right. Now, hold on. She just laid that out.
She did.
This particular young lady, this blonde, attractive lady, goes out when it gets a call and moves bee colonies back to her place where she has, where she does this, outside.
Outside, in the little cabinets.
In the scenario, because you live here... There's no way for a snake to live year-round here outside. They must be inside. In Florida, even, it gets cold, and they go into that dormant period and stuff, and then they come out of it. They got to be inside. So you're more okay with snakes in your house than bees outside your house.
Yeah, because this woman would be properly trained to make sure everything's okay for them.
It's still a snake, and mistakes happen even with the professionals.
That's true.
So the snake could get temporarily, it might not bite you, but now you're walking on eggshells because of snakes. The bees will never all swarm in your home.
Well, we don't know that.
Yes, we do, because she shows us where she drops them off. It's not right by their backyard.
Maybe the queen accidentally is up her shirt.
That's not how it works.
And she walks home, it's in her shirt.
Then she's walking home with the bees all over.
Exactly.
Compared to snakes?
Yeah, I'll take the snake.
Tom in Alabama, you're on 97.5 today. This is unbelievable.
Hey, big man. Thanks for welcoming in the uncrowned sexiest man alive. Tom from Alabama to the best show ever, my brother.
Hey,
What's up there, sexy Tom?
It's a pleasure.
Hey, I've never had the pleasure of speaking towards Ricky Vitellico. How you doing, Rick?
Good. How are you?
Fine. Thanks, man. I've always been a big fan. I've had your back from the beginning, Rick, and I'll have it to the end of time. Certainly goes without saying, I enjoy your work.
I appreciate that. Alabama Crimson Tide.
That's it, man.
Auburn.
Here's the deal. That scenario, going to New York and all, yeah, I love the gung-ho attitude and everything, but they have our number. It's too hot for us to go into New York right now.
Well, I don't know about that part, because those fans are half defeated anyway. Get a lead in one of those games and watch those fans fold up.
I told you, I work with one. Uh-huh. He is deflated right now.
You get up there. Now, you might be right that it may never happen, because they may have the Phillies' number.
They were 11 games up.
Yep.
Not that long ago.
And the Braves just steamrolled them. If the Phillies get a 2-0 lead in one of those games, boy, those people start booing, and all of a sudden they're going to try to take the trumpet from Tommy. It's going to be a bad, bad deal.
I do like the Tommy the trumpet.
I do too. But they're not going to like it if they're down and here he comes. Down two runs and here he comes with the music. They're not going to be okay with any of that. So you're half right there, Tom, and I can't speak to his sexiness.
Speaking of music, I don't know if I like, it's kind of off topic, but not. Mm-hmm. The Eagles going with dreams and nightmares in the locker room after the 4-0 victory?
Hey,
That's a violation.
Hey, not if they got the same aspirations.
I think you still got to switch it up.
Okay, well, real fast, what song would you pick?
I don't know. It's got to be within feel of what the fellas enjoy on a daily basis.
Well, clearly they enjoy that.
I know, but that it was already a theme song of a team that got the job done. You can't. The only way it works is if you finish the job. If you don't finish the job, I might have to blame the song choice. And who chooses
it? I don't know who chose it. Clearly the leadership.
Well,
hurts in them.
I have questions. That's all.
All right, real fast. Paul and Maple Shade, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Paul?
Yeah, hi, Tyrone. Of Maple Shade, I love your show.
Thank you.
Aaron Nola pitched a gem. He pitched a perfect game in the seventh inning. Mm-hmm. He's only two hits. He has best control and he pitched great.
He did. He did.
He was absolutely fantastic, and I think he should be in the three-game series. Actually, I think he needs to be pitching. It depends on what happens with the first game. But
Ricky is explaining.
If they win game one, I would not be surprised if they push him game three, so that if he doesn't if they sweep and they win in two games, you have him for game one of the NLDS.
That's true, Ricky. I love you.
There you go, Paul.
How about that?
There you go, Paul. Like a little love around here.
And by the way, I never got to this, but we were talking about Aaron Nola, and the reason why I was kind of happy that it ended where it did.
Yeah.
Think about when Aaron Nola has finished out games, when he's gone nine innings deep in games and a high pitch count.
Not sharp
the next start. So that ended up being maybe a blessing in disguise.
Got him out under 90 pitches.
Yep.
So whenever he does pitch, whether it's game two, three, or game one,
He should be fine
either way. And that's where Thompson deserves a lot of credit for how he managed that game in the situation.
He was ready, one way or the other.
Yep. A lot
of managers won't put somebody up in the bullpen because of the no-hitter going.
Right, and I even saw some people on social media. Why do they have Alvarado up with the blah, blah, blah?
Turned into a pretty good move, didn't it?
Absolutely. All right, just so you know, after the question of the day, we will be staying. Ricky has to obviously go do another job, but now it is time for our question of the day. We have overtime here on the show.
This is the question of the day.
Brought to you by DryTech Waterproofing Solutions. Protect your investment at DryTechCorp.com.
Let's go to the answering machine.
Yes, 610-771-9705 is the number for future reference. If you're on hold right now, we will get to you during overtime. What was the question of the day today, Jen?
What were you doing? What was going on in your life 11 years ago when the Phillies last made the postseason?
All right, here we go.
Well, 11 years ago, I was in the midst of helping and rekindling a flame from high school at our 40th high school reunion. And boy, did we rekindle something that hadn't been touched in all that time. Now, it didn't end well, but it is better to have loved and lost than to not have loved at all. Go, Phil.
Sometimes you're in the mood for a sausage, and sometimes you're in the mood for a hot dog.
Stop it.
Well, that's what he was talking about. Food.
Food, right. He was talking
sausage.
About food.
Little food rekindling.
11 years ago was a pretty tough time. My wife just got diagnosed with cancer, but thank God everything went okay, healthy, and all's been good since then. And now the Phillies are back in the playoffs, and all's good there, too.
God bless.
Yeah, I'm glad that she's doing okay. I didn't know if
that was going to get worse.
Yeah, that's what I was worried about. And then after a slow time, and now she's not here with me or something further, I was worried.
No, it turned out good.
Yeah.
Man, 11 years ago, I was just on my residency, and I had a 5-year-old. Yeah. Completely different times.
So that means he's got a 16-year-old now, and that's a full-fledged doctor.
He's a doc.
So before, that residency with a kid, it had to be murder.
Yeah.
Like, when did he sleep?
He didn't.
He didn't sleep at all. Now, with a 16-year-old, at least the kid sleeps through the night. It doesn't go in there after they pee the bed.
11 years ago, the Phillies won over 100 games, and I retired from the practice of law. I never thought I would have to wait this long to see the Phillies back in the playoffs, but I'm glad.
There it is.
They're back.
Imagine any person that gets to retire nowadays from any job, with sports, anything. They're not just working to the end of their lives. Let me tell you, I respect them. Because right now, that's kind of my only goal, is to do this job just well enough to not have to do it forever.
I see no flaw in that.
I feel you.
Yeah, I want to succeed enough. To where, but I can still go, all right, well, I've had it.
There you go.
Versus them saying.
I was working at this stadium, Citizens Bank Park, as in a game day employee. So I've been through the
playoffs from 07 to 11, and guess what? I've never been hugged by men shown love to me so much during the playoffs. I was working there. Loved every minute of it.
Lots of love.
There was so much love, and it's going to be back this weekend. I'm telling you, wherever I am, I'm going to be hugging people if they win the game. Already did a lap around a bar once already because some hits early in the year when things were going good. I'll be hugging people if they get a victory this weekend. All right. Thanks to Dylan. Thanks to Booty. On the radio side, we're staying with you with overtime leading up to the Flyers pregame. On the TV side, you got Birds Huddle, greatest sports legend, and then Phillies pregame with Ricky Bowe. And let's see if they can still get that second wild card or if they want it. We'll talk to everybody tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.